Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
You smiling?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football. Football's fun.
Fun, sir.
Fun, sir.
It's fun.
Yes.
You sure?
I think.
Now you're thinking. First you smile, then you think. You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Yes. No.
No?
Sir. It was fun.
Not anymore, though, is it? Is it?
No, not by now.
No, it's not fun anymore. No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Make up your mind.
No, no.
Think, since you're thinking. Now go on, think.
No,
is
no.
it fun?
No, sir.
No.
No, sir.
Absolutely not?
Zero fun, sir.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I can guarantee you there isn't a bum on the street that looks as raggedy and ridiculous as what I'm looking at right now. This is no democracy. It is a dictatorship. I am the law.
Paul Perillo.
And I noticed that he wears those leopard-spotted underwears, bikini style, sir.
And Andy. And Andy?
Think you got a future in football?
Andy Hart.
Oh, heck no. I just figure if I got to be in school, I might as well hit some people while I'm at it.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dighton Rehoboth.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
Does the term cruel and unusual punishment mean anything to you?
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
You got anger, that's good. You got aggression, that's even better. You're going to need that, too. But any little two-year-old child can throw a fit. Football is about controlling that anger, harnessing that aggression into a team effort to achieve perfection. We will be perfect. Let's go to work.
All right, yes, let's go to work. It's Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and this is PFW in Progress. And for the next 2 hours, we'll be talking everything Patriots, NFL, and anything else that comes to mind, I guess. But right off the bat,
is the place you go for news, Fred. PFW in Progress.
About 10 minutes ago, the Patriots issued a press release, and the title is Patriots Announce Coaching Staff Appointments. Scott O'Brien hired a special teams coach. Bill O'Brien named quarterbacks coach. And Josh Boyer is named defensive backs coach. So obviously we know that Bill O'Brien was here, and we all assume that he would be elevated to quarterbacks coach to replace Josh McDaniels. Josh Boyer apparently was on the staff as an assistant.
Coaching assistant.
And he's been elevated to defensive backs coach. Scott O'Brien, we said, had come over from the Broncos. It wasn't officially announced, but he has been known for his special teams acumen and will take over the vacated spot of Brad Seeley. So the coaching staff starting to round out here.
So just two left now. Wide receiver, tight end, looking for coaches at that position, those positions.
Yep. And really offensive coordinator, although I don't think they're going to actually name one.
So I would be stunned if they hired an offensive coordinator at this point.
So that's that. Again, just repeating, about 10 minutes ago, the Patriots announced three staff appointments. Scott O'Brien, special teams coach over from the Broncos. Bill O'Brien, quarterbacks coach. And Josh Boyer, defensive backs coach. So if you want to get the background on all those guys, you can get it on Patriots.com, the full press release. So what's happening, guys? How'd you like the Super Bowl?
It was very good.
Yeah.
Great finish.
Andy here. Eric's here. Paul's here.
Great finish.
Two J's in the booth.
It's a good game.
I was disappointed in who won, but it was a great game, great finish.
Now, you think it was a great game? If it had ended 20-7, would it have been a great game?
No, but it did. But there's four quarters in the game.
I think it was up to that point. It was pretty lousy.
I wouldn't say that. No.
I didn't think it was lousy, but I didn't think it was great up until that point. It got great because of the fourth quarter.
But it also got to 20-7 because of one critical play.
Right.
That's a 14-point swing.
Right.
So it's not like one team dominated. It was a blowout. Yeah. 20. I mean, it hinged on a single, what people are calling one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't really agree with that either, because it reminded me of Kevin Falk's kickoff return in Oakland. It was like this play that took forever to develop. This big fat guy, he's hurtling. You don't know if he's going to make it.
Well, there were 18 seconds on the clock.
Bad throw, too.
There were 18 seconds left in the half, yeah.
And that one play ended the half.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. I mean,
you clocked that down to a 40-yard dash, and I thought James Harrison was an athlete.
Well, I thought it was one of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history. I don't know how high on the list that would be, but considering the impact it had in the game, and Andy just touched on it, that play really was even bigger than just the 14 points because Arizona
did their stupid defer thing.
And they were you know, 1 yard away or 2 yards away, whatever they were, away from parlaying that into 7 to end the half and then possession to open the second half. They could have had a 14-10 lead with the ball to open the second half.
Yep.
You know, the game is totally different. And
Totally different.
And that play, and that was, you know, Warner, that was a terrible, terrible play. Terrible decision by Warner, and I think he got baited into a bad play
by the Pittsburgh defense. Wasn't really looking anywhere else either.
No, but everybody's throwing the receivers under the bus because they were bunched in too tight, supposedly.
Yeah, and I don't buy that at all. I listened in the post game to Trent Dilfer and Steve Young, and they were talking, you know, as quarterbacks, and they were pretty critical of Warner's play on that, saying that, you know, the look was there. It was pretty much what Pittsburgh did. That's what they were showing, and Warner should have known that that's what was going on there. I heard some people say that Bolden should have done a better job of breaking it up, but he's running a slant route trying to catch a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a quick strike play, and then he also got blocked shortly after that. I've also heard criticism of why didn't he pull a Ben Watson and run him down. I think the difference between this and Watson was he got blocked.
Yep.
And Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, did run him down. He caught him at the 1 yard line, just ultimately couldn't keep him out of the end zone.
I was a little surprised.
Much like, in a similar fashion, he couldn't really prevent the touchdown.
Right. I was a little surprised that Arizona, with that much time left on the clock, didn't try, you know, they had the defense spread out with that formation, that they maybe didn't try a draw or some kind of running play. Because they would have had it.
Well, anything would have been better than what they did.
No timeouts.
Well, no, I was thinking that you do that, you still have time to line up and spike the ball, get the 3 points, and tie the game.
I was
kind of thinking.
Tough. Well, that's a big chance you're taking with 18 seconds left.
18 seconds. Yeah, it's not like there's 8 seconds. 18 seconds.
I just think it's a big chance you're taking to get lined up and spiked.
I didn't think it was that big a chance,
but you don't really,
given that
I mean,
much time.
You're not really going to have to spike it because unless he does a dumb thing and takes a sack. On the 1 yard line,
No. Running the ball if you don't get in.
Oh.
That's what he wanted to run a draw.
I was thinking they had that formation spread. I'm like, oh, this is a good position for them to just run a quick draw.
Yeah, I don't know.
The way they had it set up.
They shouldn't run.
No, the way they had it set up, they could have run 3 plays.
Right.
You know, similar to the one. If that play had, you know, let's just say that Harrison is a step behind, swats it down.
Mm-hmm. Then you try
there's 14 seconds left now, and you tried another
Fitzgerald
one.
And,
right.
So they could have had, they probably could have gotten all 3 plays off before they kicked the field goal. But if you run and you don't get in. Now it's danger, Will Robinson. Everybody's running around like a chicken with their head cut off, and you don't know if you're going to get that playoff.
No,
plus,
but
you cost yourself 2 chances to score the touchdown if you don't get in.
Yeah, maybe. But I just thought if that's what the defense is thinking, that, oh, they're going to pass.
Hey, you might have waltzed into the end zone.
You might have waltzed into the end zone.
And the one thing I liked was the whole defense, you know, good defense beats offense, you know, another one of those. Well, unless the offense plays better than the defense that day, which happened on both sides
of the ball. I couldn't believe that, that Pittsburgh allowed Larry Fitzgerald to be that open in the middle of field and score that touchdown. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Especially after the way they completely took him out of the game for 3 quarters, and then they let him
play.
Unbelievable. And then, you know, you go back, Pittsburgh starts it out.
They start out
with a holding penalty, 1st and 20,
but they
still managed to march right down the field. And that last catch by Holmes was unbelievable. That was as nice a pass as you'll see.
Oh, we talked about it.
Catch.
The guys and I were talking
about
it yesterday.
Yeah, it was great,
perfect pass.
Only he could catch it.
The previous play was a great pass.
Yep,
it just went right through Holmes.
Just wasn't a great catch.
Yeah. He got behind. He ran a great route, got behind the defense, was all alone. He would have had both feet in bounds too.
It's funny in watching him. I thought both of those plays were when Roethlisberger threw the ball. I thought he was throwing them away. They were kind of high into the outside, and I was like, oh, he was scrambling a little bit and pumping, and I was like, oh, he just threw them away. And both of them, the first one went right, just like Eric
said.
But
he made sure no one else could get it, and I know
that. Well, he didn't make sure because he said he wasn't sure.
Well, he wasn't, he did.
He thought it was picked.
He thought it was, but there was no way any other person could have caught that.
No, it was a great throw, but if you believe his assessment afterwards.
Well, you have to second guess yourself. But I know Holmes got the MVP, but, I mean, it was Roethlisberger time and again making things happen. You know,
Bobby Abreu signed a 1-year, $8 million deal.
Yeah,
you could really make the argument that if not Roethlisberger, it should have been co-MVPs, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
So,
well, generally because the quarterback gets, I mean, what is it, like 22 times or something it's been the quarterback.
Well, all right,
that's
now,
why they get the money.
They get the benefit of the doubt.
You know what? If Arizona had won, would it have definitely gone to Warner, do you think? Or do you think Fitzgerald would have gotten consideration?
I think Warner would have gotten it. But yeah. I think it's too off in the number. You know, Warner had the numbers for the MVP. And Roethlisberger, I thought, played every bit. I think he played better than Warner, to be honest with you. I thought a lot of Warner's
completions. Avoiding sacks.
I thought a lot of Warner's completions were badly thrown. I thought that he was off. I thought he was just off in that game for a lot of it. And put his receivers in bad spots to get yards after the catch. I thought he missed some open receivers early in the game. And I thought the interception was an egregious mistake, whereas Roethlisberger's was a batted ball and had nothing to do with Roethlisberger. I thought he played better, but his numbers weren't anywhere near as good. And Santonio Holmes had the great numbers, so he gets the MVP. I don't think that's a bad pick. I think Holmes made all the big plays. I have no problem with him.
In the play.
Yeah, I have no problem with him getting the MVP.
Well, and I think Hines Ward definitely was limited. So
I was really surprised with that first play when he got open for 30 whatever yards.
Antonio Holmes is the best receiver on that team. That's not even a question anymore in my mind.
I agree.
All right, so it was a good game. Team won.
Now, what did you think of all of the you know, I listened to a lot of talk radio yesterday. What did you guys think of a lot of the controversial, and I put quotes around that because I really didn't think there were a lot of controversial plays, but the referees' decisions and whatnot, you know. Start with the very last play. Should they have reviewed that? Or, you know,
I mean,
do you have a big problem with the call? Did you think it was close?
I thought it was close. I don't have a huge problem with it, but to me, when there's a Super Bowl on the line,
you take all
the
precautions.
Do you think they looked at it?
They
said they looked at it. Do you believe they did?
Sure.
I believe they did. I mean, I think there was a lot of time that lapsed there.
But in looking at it, means the one guy upstairs looked at it.
Yeah.
I don't know why you don't just give the official the opportunity to look at it.
But see, I heard a lot of people saying that yesterday on ESPN Radio. Kevin Winter was saying this a lot. I'll give him, you know, credit for it, you know, since he's the one I was saying. And I didn't really agree with him. He kept saying it's not his call. Well, it is his call.
Right.
The replay, the choice to go to replay is not the official's.
It's the replay booth.
Right.
It's just an official challenge.
A referee can't make a call and then say, you know what, I'm not quite sure I got that right. I'm going to go to review. You can't do that.
Right.
So he kept saying it's not his call. Like Andy just said, the guy obviously saw it in the booth and thought it wasn't close enough to go. Right. Maybe he could have given the ref so you get a second opinion, but... Right. He did follow protocol. That's the rule. He's the one who makes that determination.
Right. They don't want the referees on the field in the last 2 minutes stopping the flow of the game.
Right. But like Andy said, in a Super Bowl, I think you have to leave no stone unturned. Well, if you've got a situation like that, just take the extra 2 minutes, stop the game, take a look just to be sure.
Now,
harm could it have done?
I was putting the chips and salsa away by that point. I could care less.
But no, but just to satisfy anybody's mind.
I didn't really think it was that close.
I thought that. Two plays I had a problem with. One was the roughing play.
I had a problem
on the Cardinals.
With that call. I thought that was a bad call on Dansby.
And then earlier, I know we talked about it, but I still don't think that Roethlisberger's knee was down in the first half. I thought it should have been a touchdown.
I thought it was down.
I thought it should have stayed a touchdown because that's
I saw a gap between his knee and the ground, and before he went down, he straightened his leg out and went in.
But it's also
I saw him touching the ground.
I wasn't looking at the shin. I'd like to see it again because I was focused on the knee.
I thought it was too close to overturn.
I did too. I thought it should have stayed what was on the field, but
you saw the knee hit the grass.
It looked obvious.
Put it this way, I saw four different angles, and I saw it pointed down.
But
I saw it hit the grass.
Eric saw Roethlisberger fumble on the play. Right. He sees a lot of things with Roethlisberger that aren't really there.
Like that play that he scrambled. It was early in the game. He scrambled on the third down. One way. Yeah, and he went back to Heath Miller. And Eric comes and he goes, "How does that not get picked off?" I don't know. Maybe because there was no one within 20 yards of the guy he threw it to. And surprisingly, it didn't get picked off. You hate the guy so much that you can't really objectively.
No. I wasn't saying it for that. I'm just saying usually when a quarterback's on one side of the field, he wheels around without looking and throws all the way across the other side of the field.
But that's exactly
but
my
he
point.
Looked. He
just,
saw the first
just the way you just said
Miller.
It. It proves my point. Without looking. What makes you think he didn't look?
It was so quick. He just kind of like wheeled around. He saw a white jersey and just threw the ball.
That's what he does.
I think that's what makes those guys elite. When Tom Brady threw that pass against Cincinnati, was it in 2004 when he fell and he throws it out in the flat and everybody says, "Oh, that was a dangerous play." Well, not really, because he looked and saw that Patrick Pass was open when he threw that pass out there. That's what makes Brady Brady. I think you got to give these guys more credit sometimes. Do they get lucky at times? Do they force balls? Absolutely, everybody does. But I don't think that he just threw that without looking. I think that he knew he.
I don't think he had a whole lot of time though to look.
Well, I think that's
he's running around. That's why he's great, because in that half second he saw it and made the play.
I just think nine times out of ten that play gets picked off.
The first thing I said to Eric,
so not when Roethlisberger does it, because that's what he's built his career.
The first thing I said to Eric when he came in yesterday was, can we just stop it now? All right. You know, I mean, he just took his team 85 yards with the Super Bowl on the line.
Anyone watching?
You know, perfect pass after. Can we just end it now?
He's anyone watching the parade, which I'm sure there's probably no Patriots fans on right now on the NFL Network, you see one of the most underrated men in the history of football, Kevin Colbert, the guy who builds that dynasty.
But why did they give him Seattle Seahawks caps?
Those are the Super Bowl caps.
Oh, okay. They look like they're from the Seattle Seahawks.
But those are the colors. I mean, that's you kind of get stuck with the NFL.
But from far
away,
it looks like the Seattle Seahawks.
Next year, you're going to
get. It absolutely looks like the Seahawks.
Next year, you're going to get Miami Dolphins or Syracuse Orangemen caps because the whole logo is orange.
We'll get the cap. I'm glad you agree with that.
Well, I'm saying it because
I read
in multimedia,
I'm not even going to bother going to the regular season.
In the paper and on the radio, you have said there's no doubt they're going to win the Super Bowl.
That
would make Paul happy.
I have no doubt.
Get my RV going. I'll take Will to Penn State.
I have no doubt.
Leg number one of my major college football game tour.
All right, so Pittsburgh's a great team. You know, you got to give them credit. Over the decades, since the merger of the AFL and NFL, they have had success throughout.
But you know what?
And you have to say that, you know, unbelievable organization. And they've done it kind of with the same identity throughout.
That's probably the most impressive part of it. But I think they were a great team this year, too. And I hear a lot of people say, well, the NFL was down this year. And I think the NFL has been down for a while now. I don't really think they're the great teams that we remember, Fred, you and I anyway. I know Andy always makes fun of us for being old. I don't think there are teams that are great like when we were kids.
It doesn't seem that way.
But I think this year in this league, they were great. And they played a ridiculously difficult schedule. And I think they came away as the best team in football. I think the Giants were right there with them, but the Giants faltered down the stretch.
And it comes down to
consistency. They weren't the same down the stretch, and the Pittsburgh Steelers were.
It comes down to consistency.
But there's
a
difference.
They were consistently good. They didn't have bad weeks.
But there's a difference between being the best team in football and being a great team. Because the best team in football this year doesn't necessarily mean you're a great team.
Yeah, but my point is I don't think the best team in football has been anywhere near as good as the best team in football in 1977, 78, 79. I don't think the 16, 18-0 Patriots team was all offense to me. And I think they were the San Diego Chargers. They would have lost to those good teams if they played them back
then. And you look at those 49er teams in their heyday, you know, and everyone talks about Montana, but they had some pretty good defenses back then, too.
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers of this year are a great team.
Now, I think the Patriots
think
of 07,
they were a little challenged, and I think defensively they were overrated.
The Patriots of 07 to me were better than the Steelers of 08, absolutely. In this era, you know, we'll call it the salary cap era, absolutely the Patriots of 07 are the best team I've seen, no doubt.
But I think they have a quarterback like the Patriots, they have a quarterback who covers up deficiencies and makes the play when he needs to. It's not pretty, it's not going to be 400 yards, but when he needs to make a play, he makes it, and their front seven to me covers up a lot of
what they need to do.
Is, you know, good throughout. Every team has holes.
Fred, you mentioned that they've done it with the same identity and all that, and I think that one thing that's a little bit lacking for that identity is their offensive line hasn't been anywhere near the standards that they're used to.
Yeah.
And Andy, you brought this up doing the free agent stuff, which
they
by
all
the way
are.
hits newsstands tomorrow. Our first issue of the new season, the 2009 season. A lot of free agent look and forecasting, and Andy put together a wish list of the best players available and just kind of compiling this thing. All of the Pittsburgh offensive linemen are free agents.
Yeah.
All of them. And I don't think they'll be back because I don't think any of them are any good.
Yeah, that was funny. I don't know if any of you guys heard. I guess the morning after coach's press conference with Mike Tomlin, one of the reporters, I think it was Vito Stellino, who's a longtime football reporter.
Curmudgeon?
Was
he cranky?
Jacksonville.
A little cranky.
He said, I can't believe I have to be here, but as long as I am, can I ask you a question?
Well, because Tomlin,
also weird.
Tomlin referred to him as Vito, and I don't know any of the other guys on the beat with that name. But
know him because he's from down there, too.
So he asked Tomlin, you know, how good do you think Roethlisberger could be if he had, you know, a legitimate offensive line in front of him and he didn't have to run around all the time? And Tomlin kind
of
took offense at the question. And
of course he would.
Well, that was one of the things. Roethlisberger, did you see, like, he made a comment after the game about who's laughing now? Because obviously they were getting a lot of criticism down there. And Roethlisberger is defending his teammates. But I agree with you, Eric.
That's not the time for that question.
No, but that's the kind of question that guy asks. He is one of the – he makes me look happy-go-lucky. That guy is
I liked how Tomlin said – they're not going to repeat because the team's going to be very different and the challenge is the same every year. I thought that was very, you know, Bill Belichick-like, and that door is closed. There's now, he closed the door pretty quickly, as in the morning after, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of players that won't be here next year, and we want to compete for another title, but it won't be repeating because it's going to be a totally different team.
Oh, I like that. I didn't hear that
part. You know, again, I found it a little
sad. That's very Belichick-like.
It's also a little fun. I mean, poo-pooing right away. He's back to...
Right. You're still the Steelers.
I mean, would you expect Bill to say anything less than that?
That's exactly the way Belichick would handle that.
But
That's how they all feel. But
every year,
but I picture
Andy.
Like
I'm not
what's
sure that's
name?
How they feel.
Andy,
but I think
Emoto or whatever
sitting
in his locker saying, "Hey, I just won. You don't have to kick me out the door this quick."
Matsu,
not everybody's Pat Riley.
No. Well, yeah, that's the other extreme. But I mean, I'm not sure a lot of these guys feel that way. I think a lot of them say that because they think that's what they
are
supposed to say.
You can't say – you can't buy into that because then you're setting yourself up. You have to avoid that, you know?
But I'm not necessarily talking about – I mean, Mike Tomlin thinks they're very well – like Eric says. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind. Mike Tomlin thinks they're going to have a great shot to repeat next year. But the larger point, I think,
different.
Is what Andy's talking about. It's going to be with different people, so it's not really repeating. It's winning it again next year with different guys.
Right. Being the 2010 champion.
Because as Bill always says – every year's different.
That's right.
And that's why I think that's, you know, look, I judge everything off of Belichick now. I mean, he's earned that over the last 10 years. And when guys do things that I feel like are similar to the way Bill would do them, I go, hey, it's a good move by him. Because
now,
what Bill does works.
If you remember, Bill Belichick did it up until December 2002 when then he was looking to repeat as champions and pulled out the Lombardi Trophy when it was too late.
Right.
He closed the door apparently too quickly or too definitively and tried to revisit
needed
that.
To remind them just how good they
let's
were.
Let's not pretend it's the perfect path to success the next season.
Whatever Bill does is the right thing. I've learned. I've been.
So Mike Tomlin won't be in the playoffs next year?
I sip the Kool-Aid.
Speaking of those who do things the way Bill Belichick would do them, Eric Mangini is getting criticized up in Cleveland. A little culture shock going on up there.
The column states, less than 3 years I give him until Lerner sells the team. He thinks they're already writing that he's going to destroy the team to the point where Lerner's just going to have to sell it. Can't pick another coach.
You know, so he's being mean to people, and you know, so they don't.
So the media, and so they're lashing out.
See, that's the way. That's the way I always look at those things.
No, I mean, if he has a true source, it was an internal source saying that he's made the place a miserable place to work.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
There's a difference between being controlling and organized and yelling at the guy who puts your little Debbies in your thing like Nick Saban was doing down in Miami.
Or the secretary that commented on how nice his haircut was, and Saban informed her no longer to speak to him.
Yeah, gave him the old Adam Vinatieri, don't talk to me.
I never heard that story.
Nick Saban's first year, he was walking through the executive offices or something.
In Miami?
One of the secretaries mentioned that he got a haircut. Nice haircut or something. And he issued an order among no one is to address him.
Speak when spoken to.
Unless he speaks to them in the executive.
Unbelievable. God complex. I am God.
So, yes, Andy's right. You can you can have your organization and your philosophies, but
You don't have to be an a-hole about
it. And none of it matters.
You can be a person, too.
If you go 15-1, you're the greatest guy in the world. If you go 1-15, you're the dictator who was over his head.
Hmm. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
The biggest story of the weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently Matt Cassel got peed on.
Well, we'll talk about that, but first on the phone right now is John in L.A. John, how you doing?
Guaranteed Matt Cassel.
Good, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Good. I hope that there's no more talk of is Kurt Warner a Hall of Famer or not. I really think you should be disqualified for the Hall of Fame when you throw that pick, that Bledsoe-ish pick.
Oh.
Just unbelievable.
Shot across the bow.
But don't forget that Tom Brady did the same thing against Carolina.
Exactly.
He threw a pick in the end zone in a Super Bowl.
I mean, as it was silly to say that if he won that game, he was in the Hall of Fame, it's even sillier to say if he throws an interception, he's out. But I agree with you, John, that I don't think he's done enough. I think his credentials are outstanding, but it's in 4 years.
When he was good, he was very, very good. But he was bad,
the sample size is too small.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's got to do it for a longer period of time. Yeah, if he can put together maybe 2-3 more top flight seasons, which is going to be hard at his age.
Then I
would think, you know, his numbers are just astronomical.
Well, there was a report right at pregame that said that he was contemplating retirement, win or lose in that game. I don't know if he's made a decision, but
yeah. See,
he might not even have the two or three years left.
He's got to wait for God to contact him and tell him what to do.
Yeah, that was part of it. No, he said it.
No, I know, but.
He really says that.
I know, yeah. but you kind of said it like you were mocking him.
I am mocking him.
I don't think God calls Kurt Warner and says retire or don't retire.
I mean, you can have your faith without, you know, taking it to a ridiculous extreme.
He might wear it on his sleeve a little bit, but I think to him it's serious.
That's why I'm mocking it.
Don't you think it's a little egotistical to think that
God cares about Kurt Warner, whether he plays or doesn't?
That's my point. I'm not criticizing his faith. My point is that you think so much of yourself that God cares whether you play football or not?
You're on God's to-do list for next week. Tell Kurt to retire.
All right, John.
Eric's getting upset.
Going back to last week, something you guys were saying about Rex Ryan.
Yep.
I think there's a huge difference between Mr. Kraft saying, you know, that they want to compete and get to the Super Bowl every year, and Rex Ryan basically making a snarky little cocky comment. We don't need. There's a difference in tone.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's not the same thing.
Yep. You're right.
Rex Ryan is. I can't wait. Rex Ryan is like Hal Strike, Hank Steinbrenner.
These coaches that come in on day one, we're going to be tough, you know. Rough, tough football team. Well, every team wants to be that way. You know, it's like, oh.
Mike Martz doesn't.
No, it's football, too. It's the nature of the game.
Well, Mike Martz has no interest
of being rough, tough, and defensive-minded.
I have no idea what kind of head coach Rex Ryan will be. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty skeptical of him, and Andy disagrees with me. I think that he was a good defensive coordinator who inherited great talent in Baltimore. So I have my doubts. However, if I'm hiring a new coach, I want a press conference like he had, and not like the way so many of these other guys do, you know, Mangini's, for example. You know, where the name on the front of the jersey is less important than the name on the – I mean, you're just battling off all these cliches.
Yeah,
I want my guy getting up there telling me I want a tough football team and I intend to win Super Bowls. That's what I want my coach to talk about.
Plus, we're confusing two parts of his press conference. One was his description of his team, tough, and he used the story about – branding a horse and it kicks you in the face, that's tough or something. But the Obama thing was a joke. It was one of those open a press conference and make a joke about the number of media that's there. That was a joke. I mean, I'm sure he thinks he's going to Super Bowl, but it was just kind of a shtick to open a press conference.
He's a Jet. We don't like
Jet
him.
People.
That's fine. If you say he's a Jet, we don't like him, I'm okay with it. But
I'm down with that.
Because he wants to go to the White House as one of the benefits of winning the Super Bowl, I don't criticize in any way.
And I also don't think he's going to be a very good coach.
Well, you should think about having a good draft first.
Okay. All right.
No.
All right, John. John in L.A.
Well, actually,
signing up.
He's the head coach. So.
Well, one of our few callers that actually say goodbye before us having to say goodbye.
Because Dan will never let him go.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Speaking of letting someone go.
Now you were talking about someone letting go on Matt Castle. Why don't you tell this story a little bit? It was in the paper today, but we found out about it yesterday.
They were picking up on a New York Daily News report, I believe, that at an ESPN Friday party in Tampa, Super Bowl gathering, some 1,500 people there, apparently Castle had to go to the bathroom, and some guy tried to cut him in line, and he told him to wait his turn, and the guy was drunk and proceeded to urinate on Matt's leg. And security came and took the guy away, and Castle apparently did nothing to the guy and went back to the party with wet pants.
Well, how was security in the area that...
Well, today's story was Castle basically went and told security that the guy peed on him and had him removed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It sounded... Yesterday, I thought it sounded like security somehow saw it was in the bathroom, whatever.
Right.
Makes him look like a weenie.
Yeah, I know, but what do you do, though? I mean, do you get into a
you
brawl?
You punch the guy in the face.
Yeah, and then what? Now he's
you walk
you
off
because
the guy's
Matt
hammered.
Castle?
No, my guess is the guy was so hammered, if you dropped him with one punch, you walk away, and he would never be able to point you out of a lineup.
Maybe the guy was huge.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Could have been one of those roid guys.
To be fair, if the guy was huge, then that's another thing coming, because you don't want to get beat up as you head into free agency.
Right.
And now it's
That's
out,
a good point.
Now it's out there that Matt Castle got beat up.
Right. In a men's room.
You don't want that out there either.
Right.
So you do need to make the assessment. Can
but
I drop them with one or two punches?
I think I would have made
here?
More out of it than going to get the security guy.
Right.
Oh, Paul. Yeah. It would have been World War III. Are you kidding me?
Please. Get me there. I'm
please.
Like, although I'm it wasn't, like a magnet
although
right now.
It wasn't a woman in a toy store, so I don't know if you'd have been up
no,
to it.
I'm like a magnet right now, and they're finding me everywhere.
Oh, is that right?
Some guy last night kind of waved off me. I was driving. This had nothing to do with anything. I'm driving down this. It's like a residential street, and you're going like 20 miles an hour. and there's a guy walking from a corner, and then he's walking like toward me, and then he stops and like turns right as I'm getting to where he is, and he yells, "It's a crosswalk. You're supposed to yield." I'm like, I was like past you before you even got to the. I mean, whatever. I just kept driving. I don't know. It's just like I'm a magnet all of a sudden.
I'm proud of you for keeping driving.
I know.
These self-righteous people.
You want to say? No. What'd you say?
Look, sometimes you know I'm not the best driver. But,
yes.
But you know, sometimes you know,
you're
like
among the worst.
You're getting to a stop line, and you know, for whatever reason, your nose of your car is in the crosswalk a little bit, and these people
they give you
like,
the look
oh,
as you're walking by.
You know, just oh, how dare you block the pedestrian's right to walk across the street? Oh my God, that's just makes me mad. Anyway. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we got a lot of emails and a new lunch sponsor that we want to talk about.
It's a super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft and the 2009 season, or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'd be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So, stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
They say with a 9-month CD, you can't see your money for 9 months. What if they said you couldn't see the stars for 9 months, or have a hamburger for 9 months, or hug your dog for 9 months? That's just wrong. This is America. You can have a picnic on the beach in December, celebrate Christmas in July, go to the Lincoln Memorial at 4 a.m. if you want. And at Bank of America, you can get your money in our risk-free CD after 7 months, 7 weeks, or 7 days. So there's no risk that you and your hard-earned cash can't be reunited when you need to be. The risk-free CD from Bank of America. You're free to do what you want, and so is your money. This is America. Don't you belong with Bank of America? Bank of Opportunity. Visit bankofamerica.com/americasaves.
No early withdrawal penalty for withdrawals after 6 days from account opening or 6 days after any partial withdrawals when reinvested in a Bank of America account. We may require 7 days written notice of withdrawal. Member FDIC.
Paul Perillo prides himself on being the old-timer of the PFW crew.
Going back to the 40s with Paul.
Well, let's face it, it's actually Andy who makes fun of Paul for being an old-timer. But just because he was born in the 40s or something, it doesn't exactly mean Paul has all the answers. In fact, it seems like just about everything Paul's come up with, he didn't come up with.
I was going to say he'd rate it the way he should be, too. I was going to say, I read something. This is what I was going to say, yeah. Just on this topic.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
That's the way I was going to say. That's probably on mission. Statement right there.
I was going to say, you know why it is.
What's the matter, Paul?
No, I was going to say it was the 485. So I was going to say that, but I don't even know.
Jeez, Paul, what do you know? We're not sure if you ever had an original thought, and even that your catchphrases might be stolen. Right, Eddie Mac?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
All right, back here in PFW Progress. I really like those drop-ins. That's good stuff.
That's a good one.
You need to come up with more of them. It's good. Get a haircut, Gigi.
That one makes me laugh.
You got a little marine cut going on, huh? Close to the side? Huh? Poofy on the top?
Greasy all over.
All right, 2G's in his black shirt. You got a date later? No?
She dumped you, finally? Came to her senses?
Who's that? He had a girl going?
He's got a girl.
Yeah, that Amelia broad that keeps writing
in. Oh, well, that's true.
No, he has a real girl.
Eric, just because a girl emails in doesn't mean she's your girlfriend.
Eric would have married her.
Eric believes that.
I think she's the one, Fred.
All right, screw you.
All right, web radio.
I thought you had jury duty all week and weren't coming to work.
You don't read emails,
apparently.
Not. No, you don't.
You sent an email mapping out how Paul and I had to handle everything all week because you were on jury duty. And
no, here's what's going to happen.
No.
You got Thursday and Friday jury duty, right?
No, tomorrow and Thursday at the minimum. And then if I get on a case.
No, so you'll get on a murder case, mm-hmm. and it'll have to go into, you know, the 12 angry men.
It'll be back by Monday.
And you'll be the one guy that's holding out.
Yeah. Jack
Everybody
Lemon?
Will be pissed at you. I can just see it now.
I don't know if it's
the 11 guys and Eric.
Out, but that's a good one. 12 horny men.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. We also have to talk about the commercials.
But before we do that, can I ask a follow-up on Eric's jury duty?
Yeah.
How do you know it's 2 days? How do they
in Rhode Island, that's how
it is. It's automatically 2 days?
They do everything different You're down lucky.
They really are a terrible, terrible state.
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky this wasn't
so small. They need you for 2 days because they don't have enough people.
No, you're lucky this wasn't eight years ago,
Fred. A lot
of
criminals and not a lot of, you know, what?
You're lucky this wasn't 8 years ago because that was the first time I got on. And back then, you had a minimum of 2 weeks you had to go to jury duty.
What?
He would be lucky if that was the case.
No wonder Rhode Island's having a problem. No one's working. They're all on jury duty.
That's why they changed it because so many people.
But who would
ditch
their own regular jury duty?
Regular jury duty.
Superior court.
Yeah,
whatever
superior
they call
court.
It.
That's regular jury.
Because I know in Massachusetts there's ones where you can get on like 2 week windows, but it's like a specific.
That's probably federal.
That's grand jury. Specific.
That's grand jury.
Yeah.
Grand jury.
Massachusetts, you're lucky if it takes you 2 hours.
I know.
In 2 days.
I'd never been.
Generally, they call you when you're not even.
I just show up drunk and they say.
I just
go
had
home.
It. I just had it in December and they called me the week before. They actually sent me a notice that I wasn't needed.
There are some people who are so adamant that they don't want to do it that when they get into the jury room. Or when they get into the courtroom and they're going through the process, it's called voir dire. They automatically
notice how he has to throw that in. He can't just say they're going through the process. No one gives a rat's ass if it's called voir dire.
Let him go. Let him tell his story for crying out loud.
So some people automatically, when they start questioning you about the case and things that you might know, they automatically disqualify themselves.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's wrong. I think
that as
citizens of the United States, we should all do it and do it gladly.
I agree with you.
He just said I show up.
I'm only kidding. No, you should want to participate in the system.
Well, that's why they prosecuted that guy down the Cape who, I forgot what he did, like yelled out a racist comment or something.
To try to get himself kicked off.
And did, but then they prosecuted him for like obstruction of justice or something.
Good. No, I mean.
It's true because, the first time I had jury duty, I actually got on a case right away. And
short voir direing process?
No, it was a long one, actually.
That's what she said.
That's right.
No, she did.
But when you're sitting there, and you're one of the 12, or 14, actually, because they have alternates that have to sit there. But
right. What are those called?
Alternates. seriously, though, you're sitting there, and you have that person's life completely in your hands. So if you're the one ever someday, God forbid, in the defendant's chair.
That's
you want to make sure that those 12 people are taking your life seriously and your case seriously.
That's right.
And I think everybody should go through it and like you said, do so willingly because someday the tables could be turned. You could be the one sitting there and you're going to be I almost said it, but I was going to say, S-ing yourself.
That's right.
Hoping that things go well, but
all right.
I didn't want to pull a Tom Brady there. And you know,
so Eric's got jury duty, and if anyone wants to check him out in action, what court will you be at?
Check
so
it out.
Can watch?
I wouldn't necessarily give that off.
I'm not
going to
give that away, Fred.
It's public viewing, though. Can't you just go and watch?
I think it depends on the case.
Not if he doesn't get to a case, right?
Oh, okay.
Right. Doesn't the voir direing take place behind closed doors?
No, it takes place in that courtroom for that particular case.
Sounds like, The Last Action Hero starring voir dire.
Yeah, that's a pretty intimidating name for an action hero.
It's like Van Damme,
Right. Jean-Claude Voir dire.
Sounds like a French artist or something.
I'm still not convinced it's not a French artist.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com.
Got did a you lot forget?
Of, what?
The commercials.
We went to a break and you said, oh, we got to talk about the commercials. When
no,
we
he
back.
Did. He said the commercials. I interrupted him and I asked him a follow-up about the jury duty.
So what did you want to say? You wanted to talk about your babies.
I thought the – but the E-Trade one, I thought they had two new ones, the golf one and the singing one. I thought they were funny. I didn't like the Matt Light commercial. I thought that was a lot of production value for not really getting the message across about what the stuff is.
Right. Well, I think they kind of felt probably that they already established themselves last year with that first spot, and that this was just sort of like a
follow-up.
I do think a lot of commercials are guilty of that.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of...
They're memorable commercials, but like even those baby ones, I don't think a lot of people associate that baby commercial with E-Trade.
Right.
Maybe, but I think there was you know what? That was the most memorable commercial.
Yeah,
that one second commercial.
I actually think that was brilliant.
Did you see the 30-second version that was in like the pregame or whatever before that, where they were sort of setting you up for that? It was your guy, the big fat guy who drives the truck.
I love him.
He was sitting there with some other truck drivers or loading stuff up, and he was like, "Can you believe this? $3 million for an ad for 30 seconds?
Yeah.
That's crazy. We could do like that's $100,000 a spot. We could do a million of those." He starts going, "Drink it." That's an ad right there.
It was pretty funny.
He starts doing a bunch of these things. He's like, oh, we're going to do that during the game. It was pretty cool.
That's good. But I thought there was a lot of production value in a lot of these commercials, and I think it was wasted money. I don't think a lot of the commercials were that effective this year. That's just my
I pretty much agree with you. I didn't think there was a lot that – I mean, there was some funny ones, like always, but I didn't think there was a ton of commercials that I came away and said, wow, that was great.
It's gotten to be a competition.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like not about promoting your product. It's almost about who can generate the most post-game buzz about their spot.
Because they want to get on the ad meter. If you get on that, it's more publicity, and that's promoting your product. And, yeah, I'm not sure whether that's accurate or not. But.
All right. The doctor, Jason Dvorkin, just walked in and with our lunch. And we have a new lunch sponsor.
Provider.
Pizzeria Grande. So 1185 Washington Street, Walpole, Mass. They deliver, but Jason was just so excited he had to go get it. But they're great pizza place, sub place in Walpole, also fried foods. I mean, I'm looking at the menu here. It's extensive.
It is very extensive.
It's a big, big menu.
Not just pizza, but specialty pizzas and all those
wraps,
different kinds.
Burgers, signatures, grill. They have a grill. Obviously, cold sandwiches, pizza, calzones.
You can order on the web.
They got about 20,000 salads here.
Is that my calzone?
Oh,
so,
wow.
So we want to welcome Pizzeria Grande to the PFW in Progress family. And if anyone wants to buy lunch in the future, we're going to push them towards Grande. They deliver 508-660-0004.
0004.
That sounds like a two-gender read.
508-660-0004. Put it down. Pizzeria Grande. And that's where we'll be getting lunch from now on. Is that right, doctor? He's shaking his head.
Tremendous provider.
So. Exclusively?
Isn't this place with the big slices, too?
Oh, huge.
You get
huge.
A single slice, it's like a half a pizza.
Yeah. If you get two, it's too much. If you get one, I'd be all right.
Delivering quality 7 days a week, all day long, Pizzeria Grande. So, thank you.
And they're big fans of the show and of the PFW in Progress.
Of the show,
newspaper.
Too?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. So, that's great. Are those for you, Andy, those buffalo tenders? Are they for everybody?
Everybody.
So then why are you like hoarding them?
That's
like,
what he does.
That's generally
Fred.
What happens. Can I have the wrap there?
All right. So that's good stuff. We also have emails. And if people want to call in or email in about the game on Sunday, about the ads that everyone saw.
So what was your favorite ad, Fred?
I really didn't have one. I was kind of not impressed. I think the 1 second Miller Lite, when I saw it, I was like, great.
Yep.
Brilliant. It worked.
I agreed.
It worked.
I agreed.
It cost them $100,000.
That was very good.
It worked.
But there were good ones. The Doritos throwing the...
I liked that
one. That
you guys
good.
Didn't like it as much as I did.
I liked it. My favorite was the moose, where the boss has the moose's
I like that
head
one too.
In his office and the regular worker
did
has
the like
ass.
Did you like the one... I think it was for the same company, and they kept repeating the same one.
I did. Career builder.
I did.
It just kept going over and over and over.
Punching the koala bear in the face.
I wouldn't want to see it more than twice. It got kind of annoying. But, yeah, punching a koala bear with glasses is funny.
All right, on the phone
Thanks,
right
Doc,
now
by the way.
Is Michael from Puerto Rico. Michael, how you doing?
How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Bon appetit. Enjoy your lunch.
Thank you.
Quick questions. Didn't you guys feel like the production, per se, of the Super Bowl this year was head over heels last year?
Well, last year I was there watching it live, so yeah. I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
I mean, it was better this year than last year, or better last year than
definitely.
This year? Yeah, I didn't really notice that. Cause, well, I mean, we don't get to watch it live when we're there. But I didn't hear really anybody talk about. I do think, however, Michael, that I agree with you. I think depending on the network, I think there are subtle differences in the presentation of the game.
There's nothing subtle about it. There were, I mean, just the camera angles. I remember last year there were a lot of complaints about replays not coming fast enough. For example, a key play happened, and just because they were doing, you know, like, what do you call it, hurry-up offense or whatever, they didn't show the replays. And just the production value overall was excellent. I don't remember NBC doing a Super Bowl. I think they only started maybe like 2 or 3 years ago.
That's right. Well, this is the first one they did in like 12 years or something like that, 13 years, something like that. It's been a while since NBC's had one.
But it was great. It was. I mean, the picture was clear. At least from our end here in Puerto Rico, the picture was clear, and the replay, everything was top notch.
That's interesting. I do think, Michael, to back you up, I think there's a difference on Fox. To me, is the worst of the three.
Oh, by far.
I think that there's a clear difference when
Fox.
Yes, I believe so. I think that I don't enjoy the way it's presented as much on Fox as I do on CBS or NBC.
Oh, it's interesting, Mike. Did you hear about the people in Arizona who were watching the high-def broadcast on Comcast? They got fed about 10 seconds of porn. So.
Yeah, I read that on the internet. Obviously, I didn't see it. Otherwise, my wife would have shut off the TV at that particular point in time. But on separate issues, tell me you guys were at the end of the first half when he was when Harrison was running back that interception. Tell me you weren't half expecting Benjamin Watson to come out of the stands to tackle.
That's a good line.
That's pretty funny.
That's a good line. Well, he would have had plenty of time because it took him 18 seconds to finish that play.
Yeah, my mother was very excited, and we were rooting for her because she won a $500 square on that. So as he was running down the sideline, we realized that she had 7-7, so we were all rooting for him to go all the way.
Well, that's another reason why I should hate the Steelers. My dad was winning. The Super Bowl party that we were at, my dad was winning that. My neighbor does it differently. He doesn't just do the squares. He does, like, the team and who's winning, how many points you get in each quarter. It's a weird system. But my dad was winning that until the Steelers scored that last touchdown, and then the lady who was hosting the party ended up winning because of it. So another reason why I don't like those.
That's a good story. Steelers. Well, Michael, anything else?
A couple of things. I mean, you guys can discuss it. I'll throw it out there and you guys discuss it.
Okay.
I remember particularly, and I remember because it was actually against the Cardinals game when Benjamin Watson scored a touchdown and he put the ball under his belt, under his shirt, signifying his an homage to his wife who just gave birth, correct?
Right.
And that was flagged for 15 for using the ball as a prop.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Santonio Holmes use the ball as a prop on the last touchdown?
Yeah, that's been talked about a lot on, you know, and absolutely you're right.
He did.
I don't know whether they
didn't see it
or the ref didn't at that time want to, you know, make it that big of an issue in such a big game. But absolutely, that's as much as what any of the guys have done this year that have been flagged using the ball as a prop. That is a direct violation of the rule, and it should have been a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, I just think that they didn't see it.
The complexion of the game because they would have had to kick off, where is it, from the 30?
They kick off from the 30, so it would have been from the 15.
From the 15. So right. That would have been a significant change. And with Bolden, Fitzgerald, and Breston back there, I mean, that 15-yard difference really does make a difference.
Well, they could have conceivably started at midfield.
Yeah, I think that was, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for the refs, because you know I hate the refs. And I thought they had too much to do with the game in general, too many penalties, even though, in fairness to the refs, virtually every time they showed a replay and they called a penalty, you saw the penalty on the replay. I have to admit that, even though I'm a basher. I think that it was certainly conceivable that they didn't see that because he was off the field of play in the corner, surrounded by his teammates, and I think the only camera angle was that back corner camera that showed it from the opposite side. I think it's very conceivable that the refs didn't see that. But if they had, I think they would have called the penalty. They have to.
And I also think it happened – Go ahead, Mike.
I don't think he did it in the corner. I think he actually did it right in the middle of the field, right in front of the goalpost. I might be mistaken.
I didn't ever see him. I mean, you might be right, Michael. I didn't ever see him get to the middle of the field, but he might have.
I've only seen one camera angle of it, and from that angle, it seemed that there were a lot of people around him that looked like sideline people. And that's why we both, Paul and I, thought it was down the sideline. I also wonder how long after the touchdown he did it. I think that might have been a factor, too.
It was 10, 15 seconds after the touchdown.
I think he might have.
So if he went to the sideline and did it, I'm not sure because I didn't remember seeing it live. But if he did it on the sideline, I don't think that's probably a penalty.
No, it is. You can do it in the bench area.
That's what I mean.
But you can, no, he was still like outside in the bench area, in the area of the end zone, but on the sideline.
Okay, well, then I think that would be a penalty then.
All the officials were worrying about whether it was a touchdown or not.
Yeah.
And there was a review. I think that was their focus, not whether it's a 15-yard penalty, but did he have his toes in? Was this a touchdown?
Yeah. But I also agree with Eric and Fred in that it happened well after the touchdown because he ended up on the ground, and then he sat there on his butt, and he had the ball, and he cradled the ball in both arms, and he was almost like in shock. Like, I just caught the game-winning touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. How long are the referees supposed to monitor how he celebrates? You know, I mean, I think it's conceivable that they just didn't see it. I really do.
I do, too.
I don't think they saw it and chose to ignore it because of the magnitude of the game, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Like I said, any chance I get to make fun of the officials, I like to take.
Yeah, so. As much as I wanted Arizona to win, I can't be bitter about that non-call. It's just,
Well, as far as overall value, last year was a bigger Super Bowl because of the whole historical, implications on it, 19-0, Super Bowl, all that stuff. So it was kind of a bigger stage, a bigger game, but for overall value entertainment, this game, I have to put it right up there with one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it comes down to the end. It wasn't – Fred disagrees a little bit because he thinks it was a terrible game before the fourth quarter. But I think it was a pretty entertaining game throughout, had a great finish, and there was some history involved with the Steelers. Obviously, they're a historic franchise. You had the underdog and Warner. Mm-hmm. I think it had pretty much everything you want.
Did I read the ratings correctly? It turned out this was the third most watched program in history. Was that right? MASH was first. Last year's Super Bowl was second. And this came third, I think. 96 million or something like that.
So maybe the press release that I saw, Fred, was right, and the one that you were just spouting off numbers off the top of your head was wrong?
All right. Thanks for calling in, Mike. And this is Andy. What do you got there?
Should call it Calzone Grande.
That is the biggest calzone I've ever seen.
This is good.
A half of one is the size of a normal calzone,
and it's good. Size isn't always important. It's how you use that size. Put it to use. This is put to good use. This is a good calzone.
Okay.
You make a good meatball. I got the meatball.
You got
calzone.
The meatball. Could you pour me a glass of Coke, please?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, we're drinking Coke out of Pepsi cups, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah, the regular Coke. Thank you. That diet stuff will kill you. All right, let's take another break. A quick one, and we'll be right back.
It's a super sale of the Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Shop now and gear up because everything is 20% off with additional discounts on select sweatshirts, hats, footballs, and jackets. Can't make it to the stadium? No problem. Shop online at PatriotsProShop.com where you'll still get 20% off every item you buy and pay only $5 for shipping. Get all the gear you need in time for the NFL draft of the 2009 season or buy that special gift for your Valentine. At the Patriots Pro Shop, there's something for everyone. And you won't only find the largest selection of Patriots gear, but you'll have access to exclusive items you won't see anywhere else. The Patriots Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open year-round Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. Stop in or log on now. The super sale at the Patriots Pro Shop. If you're any closer, you'll be in the locker room. Visit PatriotsProShop.com for complete details.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary. Plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer. And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
Did I ever tell you the story I had with Cordell Stewart? We were in Pittsburgh. It was before a Pittsburgh game. That Saturday night or Friday night, he had been supposedly caught in a park with another man.
Yes.
The police rousted him out of the bushes. So the next day, on Sunday morning, I'm on BCN. I go, look, let's just leave Cordell Stewart out of this. Of course, what do? They ask me about Cordell Stewart. Yeah. So I said, well, look, I don't know if there's any truth to it, but all I know is that DeMonte Dawson asked to go from the shotgun all day.
He didn't want to talk about it, but then when they bring it up, he prepared a joke.
Then he has to explain it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. By the way, Strippers has submitted a new term to Urban Dictionary. It's called castled. When a guy cuts you in line at the urinal, and when you object, he pisses on your leg. So that is a new submission, and it's currently under review by the editors.
I think it's funny.
So,
I still can't believe it.
I give him credit for restraint.
You would.
Castle.
All right.
I want to see the guy first.
Yeah, I can give him no credit until I see the size of the guy. He might just been too big for him to do anything about it.
And I'm okay with that. You're on the verge of signing minimum like a $15 million contract. You don't mess that up. All of a sudden you come back, you got a broken, shattered face, and you can't play. And
yeah, right. Speaking of Castle, I guess Kansas City seems to be picking up steam. That's a lot of people are talking about that.
Yeah, for really no
based
good reason.
Really based on nothing, but Kansas City is picking up a lot of steam as a possible partner, much like we talked about when Scott's name was first thrown out there. I made the comment in the infamous show with just Eric and I. I asked you, Eric, and we talked about it for a while.
Yep.
Does Pioli's presence in Kansas City help or hurt potential trades between the Patriots?
It's a good question, because how do you approach each other without, you know, okay, you're good friends with Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick's good friends with Scott Pioli, but this is business now. Now you're trying to get the best deal that you can possibly get. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no friends discount here. You know?
But I think you if you are friends, you try to do – probably try not to fleece the other guy. And the other guy,
I don't know about that. I'm trying to fleece.
I was going to say, Belichick is good friends with Jerry Angelo, and he's taken his pants down about three times.
Well, but I don't know if Angelo is that good a dealer.
I think if you're good friends, you have the respect of your friend to know when he's getting fleeced. You try to fleece him, he tries to fleece you, and you both think each other is smart enough to not get fleeced.
So in the end, nobody gets fleeced is my point.
Right.
That's my point.
I think both sides would try to fleece.
Oh, they might try, but I don't think in the end that's what would happen.
I mean, Ted Washington for a fourth-round pick, that was a fleecing.
But again, I think...
Yeah, we'll throw in Coley I.E.
Jerry Angelo's skill as a negotiator may be a little overrated.
But don't you think it's going to play out just like supposedly it's played out for 8 years here when one of them wanted to draft one player and one of them didn't want to draft a player? They both argue their points.
What?
And
okay.
What's the matter, Andy?
We would
well,
be
getting eating, and the two douches were just talking.
We were being rude.
You're being rude. Not
I was being
to
rude
Andy.
Because I carried a joke a little too far with Eric.
I was just
and
washing
Andy was
down,
talking.
I was just washing down my Italian sub from Pizzeria Grandi with a cold Coke.
All right, in a Pepsi Stadium.
Let's see.
In a Pepsi cup. The exact opposite of good product placement. Pepsi is a sponsor of the team he works for.
Jeffrey has some problems with me. He says, I love your show, even though Fred is a little shaky. I would like to give my opinion on your show and why I started to listen to you guys more than Sirius Radio and ESPN. It is my opinion when Pat fans listen to you guys, they want the inside track. The show is called Patriots Football Weekly, and you analyze things other reporters say to death. It drives me crazy. What we expect from you guys is more than what some guy from the Boston Globe is saying. Instead of analyzing what he meant, just say it. It's our belief, being close to the team, that Castle will be franchised. We want what you guys are thinking because you're close to the team, not for you to analyze what our other reporters are saying. I listen because I'm a Pats fan, and I think you guys have a little more interest and inside information than other shows. Well, you know, Jeff, you must not be listening because we always give our opinion on things. Now, whether or not we have inside information that others
don't
have.
Even Fred got defensive there.
You know, that's not always the case. But we always give our opinion about what we think will happen.
Plus, The Boston Globe should have some information as well, so we need to take that into account, anything right. we believe.
Anyway, he says, so please stop spending hours arguing on what some guy meant in his report. What we want to hear is your thoughts because you are close to the team and they are not. That is why, listen, if I want all these reports from ESPN or Boston Globe, I would listen to them. So please keep up the great work, and Fred is shaky, but a true fan. So I'm shaky. I don't even know what that means. You know?
I don't know. To me, just you can't please everybody.
I wouldn't lose sleep over it, Fred.
I'm sorry, but that's...
Sometimes these things happen.
Okay. Alejandro writes in, hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and 2G. I was on vacation at the Caribbean where temperatures reached 32 Celsius. That's 90 degrees Fahrenheit for those of you keeping score at home. I remember
That's pretty hot.
Isn't Colombia nice? Isn't that in the Central America there where it's warm?
South America.
South America?
Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty nice? When you go from Colombia and then you go to the Caribbean. It's a good deal.
Well, the Caribbean's closer to the equator, so it probably would be warmer this time of year.
But I don't think he was leaving the blizzard of Colombia for the beaches of the Caribbean.
I remember that Fred Kirsch, who was way too smart, told us that this nice, warm, crystal-clear water is the same one that the dirty and polluted water that you get in Boston Harbor is. Fred, telling lies. You are a habitual liar.
Top-stelling lies.
My 2 cents of the Super Bowl, bad played game, exciting fourth quarter. One question. There's a recent trend towards close Super Bowls, I believe as a byproduct of the salary cap and free agency. And each time, the Peter Kings of the world throw their hats into the air screaming, greatest Super Bowl of all time. Why is that? Is it the heat of the moment, or is it because those writers had to endure those boring and lopsided Super Bowls of the 80s?
I think that's a great point.
Yeah.
They do that.
As soon as
the game is over, it's always, you know, someone will be dubbing it immediately the greatest ever.
I think part of it is the emotion of the moment, too, because,
yes,
you know,
and it is emotional. We all witnessed it firsthand last year. That was an incredibly emotional end in Arizona that we were all a part of. And I think that you do get caught up in that. And I also do think that a lot of these guys that have been around the league for 20-plus years, guys like Peter King, witnessed and endured a lot of really bad Super Bowls when the NFC was just running roughshod over the AFC in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Into the 90s. I mean, they were was a 55-10 every other year.
But you look at some of the Super Bowls that just the Patriots have been involved. That Carolina Super Bowl was unbelievable.
Well,
all the points scored.
All of the Patriots Super Bowls were close in all four of the recent ones. The Green Bay one back in 96 was a lot closer than the score indicated. Everybody would agree.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously the other one was a blowout. But, you know.
The Rams game was unbelievable, you know, at the end there, the final drive of the Vinatieri kick.
But that's a good example of why I think that the game, the Arizona game just now, Pittsburgh, well, can I think of the Pittsburgh one? That's why I think it was a great game.
You call Super Bowls by the loser?
Yeah,
the Arizona game.
I couldn't think of, but I didn't want people to think I was talking about the Patriots-Giants game in Arizona. I thought that was a great game. Based on the finish, too, and I think it was similar to the Rams game. The Rams-Patriots game, for us, it was incredible because we were pulling off the upset. But just think about the general public that didn't care who won. 17-3 through three quarters, that was a snooze fest. And it wasn't until the Rams woke up in the fourth quarter with the two touchdown drives, made it 17 all, and then the Patriots with Brady going down and setting up for the last field goal. That made it a memorable Super Bowl, not the first three quarters.
Right.
It wasn't particularly well played.
True.
Before that. And Andy, you brought up something yesterday.
It's good.
I think you brought it up. Either that or it was my brother. It depends. One of you two.
I like Rich enough to say I'm okay if he did.
You know, think about Kurt Warner's immortality. You know, this whole thing about his Hall of Fame. He came onto the field. He led a touchdown. In the last 5 minutes of a tie game, he led a touchdown drive, and then they won by 1 yard, or they could have gone overtime. Mm-hmm. And the next time he goes to the Super Bowl, he takes over with less than 5 minutes left, down by a touchdown, drives down, gets the touchdown, they lose in the last play of the game. Takes over less than 5 minutes again, down 20-16, drives the length of the field for a touchdown, take the lead, they lose with 35 seconds left.
Right.
He could have won them all, he could have lost them all
easily.
And you think about how different it could be for Kurt Warner in terms of
his
legacy.
If he had won them all, people would be talking about there's no doubt he would have been
they're all
a fan.
And it would be funny, in basically four good seasons, three of them he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, because really, if you look at his career, it's 99, 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. And kind of stunk it up a little bit in 02. Ended up with the Giants later in 04. Stunk there. Didn't play. Finally started to play again in
went to Arizona as a
in
backup.
07.
Right.
Yep. Went
it
to this season.
To be Matt
and then had a great year this year.
Yeah.
I saw a weird story in the paper this morning. The headline
was... How weird was it?
Unexpected...
Steelers win Super Bowl?
Unexpected benefit of parody. Great game. And I'm thinking... Isn't that what parody means? Like,
that's exactly what you're supposed to get.
It's the lack
theory,
of parody.
In theory, everybody's the same.
Right. It's the lack of parody that would lead to a bad game because you have a great team against you know, the Bears versus the Patriots. To me, parody, everybody is right near that equator, so it should be very competitive.
I've heard a lot of
So why would it be surprised?
It was just a bad headline.
That was definitely the wrong.
Well, my guess is it was a bad story because I find it hard to believe that the story didn't match the headline.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. That's
best headline you saw, Fred.
Yeah.
What was the best headline you saw?
What do you mean best
We always,
headline,
as paper people, we liked...
Post-Super Bowl.
You know what? I didn't even look.
Fred was crying in his chair.
I liked the simple full-page picture with just six. I like simple. Just tells the story of the six Super Bowl. But I have to say the best one I saw
Providence
was the Providence Journal.
Journal
front page said, Steelers win Super Bowl.
I mean, seriously. Someone got paid to do that?
Freaking kidding me?
It's a joke.
Now, we were arguing.
I don't want you ever making fun of any of my covers ever again.
It is.
We were saying, you know, maybe their intention was to say, to use super as the adjective for the game and say that they won a Super Bowl, but they kept the S and the B capitalized.
So it's bad.
It came across as just the facts. Steelers won Super Bowl.
Right.
Another note we need to talk about that Santonio Holmes called it the Dickie Lombardi Trophy twice at his MVP press conference, which the NFL tried to change in their transcripts. Apparently, it is Sticky Lombardi Trophy, but that makes no sense. Why would it be sticky?
To be honest, it's one of the most less sense than the Dickie Lombardi
Trophy. It's one of the most polished things on the planet. Why would it be sticky?
Right?
It shouldn't be any gum or grime.
I mean, at least you can make an argument if you're Santonio Holmes.
Because maybe he was so happy something else was getting polished and, you know.
Oh, man.
It got sticky.
Good.
I'm the inappropriate one on this show.
Lord.
But couldn't you?
Couldn't it look like a dicky? I mean, it's
a phallic one. Yeah.
A little. Well, I mean, a bad circumcision.
Yeah. What happened to the show, Fred?
Eric steered it way off track.
Anyway, I thought that you could
that
make an argument
if you're pain.
If you're Santonio Holmes, you might have thought that it was Vince Lombardi. Maybe he's. I always thought it was
Dick LeBeau when he said it.
I always thought it was Dick Lombardi. I don't know.
Yeah, they're contemporaries, LeBeau and Lombardi. They're both old as dirt and been around football forever.
That's just incredibly dumb.
One is dirt now. And
by the way, that guy, Santonio Holmes,
dumb as dirt. Oof. I'm going to stick with the dirt theme.
Yeah, but he got him a Super Bowl, so they love him now.
He did.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Wes in Richmond, Virginia.
He does smoke it.
Wes in Richmond, Virginia says, "Hey guys, insert Eric gratuitous Eric joke here. I have a question about the Santonio Holmes TD catch at the end of the game. From my point of view as a fan watching on TV, it looked like Holmes' right foot did not touch the ground before he went out of bounds. I couldn't tell because the camera angles weren't conclusive enough, but if you look closely at the right foot, it appears as if it rests on the left foot, which is on the ground." There's just not enough there.
Right.
Didn't really think
you got to give it to him.
It was.
I thought
it was
down. I don't even think you have to give it to him. I thought both feet were on the ground.
Well, see, I saw what he's talking about. I saw the question because I thought the right foot looked a little higher. And if they're higher and one's touching, then one might not be touching. But I certainly didn't think there was anything to tell you it definitively was not touching.
Now, my question is, if you only have one foot in bounds and the other foot is on top of the other foot, is that a catch? No.
No.
Before you ripped me apart, it definitely looked like a catch with the eyeball test, and it would have sucked for the refs to take that away. I am also aware the officials reviewed the play and confirmed it was a catch. The reason I speculate is because of the Harrison interception return. Both Michaels and Madden agreed it was a TD because Harrison's knee was on Fitzgerald and not the ground. That would seem to establish that a player's body is not considered inbounds in part of the turf. Is the difference the fact that the INT return was another player's body? Just looking for clarification.
What?
Well,
if you're on
another
player, you're not down.
Right.
Right. And
but
if
you're on yourself, you're not down. If the foot was indeed on its other foot, he would have had one foot down. It would be no catch.
It's the same thing.
It's the same rule.
Same principle.
Yeah,
same.
You know, the bottom line is they don't think that his foot was on the other foot.
And you
certainly
couldn't
think...
prove it.
And that one was very, very close. That was, I mean, we saw a bunch of angles on that one. I thought every angle looked like they were both down comfortably, and there was that one, I think that's the one Andy's referring to, where it looked like one foot was higher than the other.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't see that it wasn't down, but you're like, well, that one's a little higher, so that could mean it's not.
And that one was, it was weird. It just kind of looked, but I just thought, based on all the other angles that they showed, where it looked like they were both definitively down, that was just kind of a
funny angle. And he claims they never,
jumped.
They were always on the
call on the field was no touchdown. Would it have been overturned?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think they would have called it a touchdown.
So do
I. Yeah, I think that was very close, but I think it was a touchdown.
Because you didn't really see anything other than the weird angle.
Surprised at how many of the challenges were overturned?
It was certainly above the league average.
Yeah.
Well, what did, how many plays? Which there was three challenges.
Listen, Hutt was 2 for 2.
Right. And the second one was a no-brainer. I mean, the second one was as obvious a forward pass as you'll ever see. When they, that was the first time that Warner got hit as he was throwing, and his whole arm had gone completely forward with the ball. So that one was. I wasn't surprised. The other one, I agree with Fred. I watched it, you know, from all the different angles, and I wasn't convinced that his knee was down before the ball got over the line. But it did look like that one angle that they showed where they kind of put the line on his knee, and then they showed the ball. The ball was clearly short of the goal line. So if his knee was down there, they overturned it properly because the ball wasn't across the plane of the goal line.
Sawyer from Waterloo says, Fred, I love you, but your slogan for this year is a little weak. I have something a little more kick. Your ass is mine in 09. That's not to be confused.
Eric loves it.
That's not to be confused with Eric's life slogan, have some wine and your ass will be mine.
F you, Sawyer.
I hear what you're saying, Sawyer, and I'm open to new ones. I don't like yours either.
What was yours?
Mine was everything will be fine in 2009.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, it is weak. So we got to think of something better.
Terrible.
I'm playing the role of Fred from now on.
Like he treats our cover ideas.
Yeah. I agree. We got to think of something better.
Did he go with our cover idea this week?
Yes, he did like that one.
Okay. Yeah, we kind
of
went.
That was another one of our group efforts,
put it in production,
by the way,
before he could screw it up.
That was another one of our group efforts. We all had a plan.
Why did that cover take so long?
They had printing issues.
The printers don't work.
Okay, it's nothing to do with the 50th anniversary logo.
No. That initially had something to do with it.
What was wrong with that? It looks like the same logo as before.
I don't know. There was some issue with that. I don't know what it was. Oh, I know there was a lot of slamming of phones around
this. But then at the end of the day, it wouldn't print.
Yeah. Right. Ultimately, it took so long because of the printer.
Okay. Let's see. PFW in progress. Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
PFW in progress.
Webradio@patriots.com. On the phone right now is Anthony in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
What's up,
Anthony?
Well, Eric there?
I'm here, brother.
Do you still hate Ben Roethlisberger and think he's worthless?
Still hate him? Yes.
I
have more respect for him as a player than I did on Friday.
Not really. He's just giving you that as the company line. He still thinks he stinks.
Yeah, he still thinks every pass he throws should be intercepted. And
I never thought he was a bad player. I just thought he was overrated by other people who were making him out to be this miracle worker.
The only way he would be overrated.
Underrated.
The only way he would be overrated is if someone thought he was better than Brady or Manning. Other than that,
no.
Yeah.
But
other than that,
I think he gets lumped lower than that. So I think he's probably
underrated. I think he's underrated.
He did the ultimate thing that a quarterback can do.
Let his team going to come from behind in the Super Bowl.
You're right.
He
can't do any better as a quarterback.
You're right. That's why I have a little more respect for him.
And he did it, too. It wasn't like he just dropped back and threw one fluke pass. I mean, he had the holding penalty. Then he was almost sacked. He avoided the mistake. I mean, he ran around and threw that pass for about 16 yards to get them started. He made all the plays.
You don't like him because he's just not good looking, right? Is that right?
Oh, I never thought of that, Fred.
He's an ugly guy.
If that were the case, I wouldn't like you, Fred.
Wow.
Is he really ugly?
Well, you think I'm overrated. I've heard you say that.
I've never said that. Didn't say I didn't think it.
I've always thought he was great. You know, I honestly think, Eric, you're a little harsh on him. And I can see where you're coming from, Eric. The thing is because he plays with the Steelers and because of the mystique and the allure of the Steelers, he does get over-glorified from certain aspects of the media.
From time to time, yeah.
I agree with that, but you got to put that aside and not have that, have the media drive you nuts and really look at his body of work. Or what you look at his body, but I'm talking about his body of work.
Come on, that was a cheap one, Anthony. Well done.
But, I think he just, granted, his numbers aren't Peyton Manning-esque, but you know what? When it counts in the playoffs, he extends the play, and you know what? I know that that Holmes, Santonio Holmes, got the MVP, which he deserved. you know, but everybody talks about the catch, which was a fantastic catch. But for him to place it right there where only he could get it over those three defenders was phenomenal.
It was very similar to the Castle to Moss play.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was a perfect, absolutely perfect throw and an absolutely perfect catch.
Yeah, and time again over the playoffs, because like, I follow the Steelers because I enjoy what they stand for. You know, they they're a great organization. They're just like the Patriots, and they've been doing it a long time. And you know what? He extends that play, and every time he scrambles, every freaking time, man, he makes that play. You know, he finds that open receiver, and you got to respect that.
Yeah, it's kind of like I used to feel this way about Elway back in the day because he always used to do the same thing, and he'd always beat the Patriots, always. And I used to hate him for that. But I grew to love and respect Elway because he was a great player. So, you know, maybe I'll turn around on Roethlisberger eventually, but I'm starting to.
It's an interesting
comparison.
Did
he just say he'll turn around on Roethlisberger?
Go screw yourself, too, Gender.
Wow.
Oh, he's really mad.
But, guys, did you guys have lunch picked up yet already?
Yeah, yes. We're all set today. Our new place is Pizzeria Grande, so if you want to get lunch for next week or something, that's the place where we get it now.
Put me on queue.
All right, map it out. Tuesday's you.
Okay, Tuesday's me.
Don't screw
next
it up.
Thursday.
Next Thursday. Next Thursday, I'm told, by Two Gender. I don't want to overload him.
But I feel obligated to get you guys lunch because I won $1,300 on the Steelers.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So that's why you respect the organization.
Oh, well, yeah. When they went on that Super Bowl run in 05, too, I won probably about $400 or $500 on them. So, you got to like that organization.
Look, did you win $1,300 on this game?
Yes.
Tease.
So you must not have bet the number.
What's that?
You teased it, Pittsburgh in the over?
Yeah, I did a parlay. I teased it down. I actually just picked Pittsburgh to win it outright because I wasn't too comfortable with it bringing it down to 4, and which was pretty close. But anyways, and I brought down the over to 43.5. So that last play, well, that last drive, you know, I'm sitting there rooting them on. And I actually got excited when Fitzgerald scored that touchdown, too, to bring it up to the 23. You know, because I needed all the points total, but it was a good win.
That was a good win for you. No,
it's a good win, and I do like the fact that most people in Pittsburgh who bet the number lost. So that was nice.
You bet the number what?
People that bet the number lost if you bet on Pittsburgh, because most of the number was 5-7, so they all lost their money. So that's nice.
And I will agree with you guys. Some Pittsburgh fans can be obnoxious. You know,
they're the worst. They're the absolute worst.
Yeah, it's those bandwagon fans, and that comes true with any team.
Yep.
And truthfully, I can't stand the Patriot fans that I meet. That you talk to them and they say they're a fan, and yet they ask the question, "Is Brady coming back this year?" Well, obviously you're not a fan because you have no idea how the IR works. You know, but anyways, that's another story.
Or the ones that write to us 8 million times asking why we're playing Indianapolis again in Indianapolis for the third year in a row. They obviously have only been watching since the last 3 years, because prior to that, Indianapolis came here for 3 straight years, but that's beside the point.
So Anthony's truly one of us.
He is.
He has the same annoyances that we do. It's you're always our greatest listener, Anthony.
He calls every Sunday, too, just so we can make fun of Felger.
I also heard another caller that called you from our show.
This week?
Yeah. Maybe
Anthony calls pretty much every week. I don't remember if he did this week or not, Anthony, but I know
I didn't. I always make the claim. I call you out. I see you're the great Hall of Famer, Paul Perillo, whenever I call.
But when you call, Anthony, mention this show, because Paul doesn't do that.
Yeah, no.
I need someone to promote
Anthony,
the PFW thing.
Do you listen online or you just call in when you listen to the show?
Well, it depends. If I'm home in the morning on a Sunday, I'm just listening online, you know. In the shower, shaving, and then when I have a chance.
Now, have you heard me mention PFW in progress and the stuff that we do
absolutely.
At Patriots.com? Thank
absolutely.
You very much.
Absolutely. I actually put a plug in every once in a while when I call up as well.
See, and he does it too.
All right, good. Good, Paul.
Thank you, Fred.
All right.
That's all I was looking for, a little affirmation.
Take it easy. Lunch on me next
okay,
Tuesday.
Okay, thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony. Make sure you don't screw that up, too, Gender.
Make sure he's in that hall.
Don't give me that smirk and look. I'll smack that look right off your face.
Grease will go
fat
everywhere.
Fat guy's got to eat.
LT in Australia writes in. He says, "Hey guys, and Two Gender."
Ooh, wow!
I like the way this is going.
Me and my Aussie friends were discussing a topic regarding the NFL the other day, and I was wondering what you thought about it. Is the only way to get into the NFL through American college system? Do NFL scouts within teams look elsewhere around the world to stock up some of their squads? I've been watching Aussie football all my life, and I think that there are some skills, speed, hands, jumping, that are relatable to both games.
Yes.
The funny thing is that we had an Australian in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
his
Ben
name was
Graham.
Ben Graham, the punter for the Cardinals, and was released earlier in the season by the Jets and the Saints. It was interesting to note that the news here ran exclusively on Graham, the punter. Every Super Bowl story in the news was about Graham, and suffice to say that obviously the media here believed that the most important player in the game was the punter. That would make Eric very happy, right? Oh, wait, Eric actually didn't kick a ball in the game. Instead, he has to find a field to practice on and do mental reps while stretching to prepare to kick off against Guskowski.
I know from experience, dude.
P.S., I happen to have the same initials as LaDainian Tomlinson and Lawrence Taylor. Should make me a Hall of Fame running back that can rush the quarterback at the same time. I like my initials even if they weren't associated with a crybaby. For the record, you guys should come to Australia. I'll save you an ice-cold beer, not Miller Lite, and a shrimp on the barbie. There's also that's not a knife, et cetera, et cetera.
The dingo ate my baby.
Foster's?
Australian for beer. Yeah, they. There's been a number of punters. Bennett, Darren Bennett.
Yeah, they know how to punt over there.
Savrocka.
Yeah, and I mean, if there was a great athlete, they had that. Who was the single named black guy with the mohawk that was awesome? And there was rumors of him coming to the Cowboys. There was the guy, probably about
an Australian rules
10
football guy.
10 years rugby Australian rules. He was from somewhere.
I couldn't tell you.
And he was dominant and. There was some talk of him coming to the Cowboys. Then I think he got hurt, and it kind of petered out. But if there's a great athlete, they'll find him. They'll see him. I mean, occasionally there's guys from Europe that just kind of somehow know somebody or something happens, and they're few and far between.
Well, there
but,
was talk that Usain Bolt was going to consider that. It never
right,
happened. But.
Right. But I'm saying, like, even less. I mean, the guy, Daniel Benetka, is that was his name?
Yeah, from Germany.
You know, I know it was easier when NFL Europe was there, but every once in a while, there's no-name guys that come from somewhere and kind of either they go to college or they know somebody and they end up in the NFL, and they usually don't have, you know, reach stardom. But
you know, football is a tough sport
to pick up.
To pick up, you're right, you know.
Because most positions have a lot of, first of all, the physicality of the game.
It's so structured,
but
too.
But most positions have some intricacies that... You need some experience, you know.
Yeah,
that's why you think Terrence
Wheatley's
going to be great, because he played corner since sixth grade.
Right.
And, you know, you just walk on the field and know that. I mean, this guy Benetka learned the game by playing Madden. It's kind of hard to convert Madden to the real field.
Sean in Singapore.
I'm very proud of you, Eric. You ate that calzone. I didn't think you had it in you.
You ate one of those whole calzones?
I did.
Holy mackerel.
Swallowed the full 12.
Did you have a piece?
I'm telling you.
You weren't eating any calzones?
I'm telling people, I am not kidding when I say that these calzones were the size of a football.
Yeah,
it
I
was.
Would say
that's
pretty
accurate. Yeah. I didn't realize that you got a calzone. I thought you had a sub and you just had some of these calzones.
No, I had a calzone.
It was so big.
It was tremendous.
No. Did it all myself. Yours was meatball too?
No, mine was chicken parm.
Oh.
Very, very
Eric, you
cheesy.
Had a meatball calzone?
Yeah, very fortunate that I didn't know you had a chicken parm calzone.
Tremendous.
They make a good meatball.
I recommend it for future when Anthony sends us lunch.
I should get a veal. Do you think they have veal calzones?
Probably.
I think they have veal parm.
You have the menu, don't you?
They do.
All right.
But you're very picky with your veal, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't.
Might not like
it's got to be good veal. And, you know, some of this veal. I went to.
Some of this veal?
No, we were. I don't think they're responsive.
The kids today.
So
what's the deal with the veal?
We were at the Mansfield area, so get a little dinner at the Bertucci's.
The Bertucci's?
And I ordered a veal parm, and it was god awful.
Now, I'm not a huge Bertucci's fan.
It was terrible.
You don't know from veal.
What?
What? Are you saying that Bertucci's veal's good?
No, you're just talking like you.
Making fun of your expression.
It's bad.
Why is veal different than, like,
you don't know from soup?
First of all, there's breaded veal and then there's pounded veal. Okay, the breaded
veal. You like
veal,
to pound your meat.
Well, no.
It's very different.
I don't mind breaded veal if it's, you know.
Tender
and all that. You know, now the real veal is, you know, you get it and the lady in the back just pounds it with a wooden mallet for like hours.
You like when the lady pounds your meat.
And makes it really thin.
Fast and hard,
and,
right?
And that's you know, that's real veal. You know, that's the good stuff.
With measured strokes.
But is it like...
But it's you'll never get a veal parm sandwich with the pounded veal. So the breaded veal's okay, but it's got to be good. Some of these people, it's just awful. It's like mashed potatoes. It's terrible.
Wait, the veal tastes like mashed potatoes?
Yes. And it has the consistency of mashed potatoes.
It's soupy?
It's just awful. Just awful.
So,
Paul, Granville waiters looked like an old man back in college,
yeah.
too. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Watching
I'm enjoying this. It's a 1983 game between Ohio State and Wisconsin. Strippers, let me know who won that game, will you, when you get a chance? It's at Wisconsin, 1983, so I'm guessing it's the 82-83 season, because if it's a Big Ten game, it's probably in the second half of the year. So Granville waiters is on Ohio State. Brad Sellers.
He looks 40.
Those are really the only two guys I heard of that are playing in this game.
All right. Sean in Singapore just read an article on the web saying that the Chiefs are, in fact, interested in Matt Castle.
It doesn't say that.
It does not state the draft picks involved. But I would assume that it would not include the third pick just because it's too high. Also, they believe that Matt Castle's performance was certainly helped by the supporting cast around him, and that if he was given the team that Chiefs have currently, there was the possibility of him not doing well and becoming the next Scott Mitchell. Vice versa, he asks, what would have happened if it was Thigpen on the team, whether the team's record would have been drastically different. Hence, I would like your thoughts on whether, A, if Castle could make a difference in the 08 Chiefs, and B, whether the Patriots' record would be better or worse if it was Thigpen instead of Castle at the helm. There's no way Thigpen does as well as Castle.
I love when he speaks in definitives.
I was just going to say, I have no way of knowing.
I'm assuming Thigpen had some success down the stretch.
He turned the ball over a little too much.
And had he been here for 4 years, you don't know how he would have been under the coaching that he would have gotten here. Matt Castle.
I love Matt
Castle. I tend to err on the side of quarterback in the NFL is not an easy thing, regardless of the system you're in. So that to just assume that even Kevin O'Connell, this was a big thing. Why shouldn't I just believe that the next guy in line won't do the same thing? It's the system. It's Belichick. It's whatever. It's Moss. It's Welker. Well, I tend to give the quarterbacks credit for being good. So therefore, I err on the side of Matt Castle's good. We didn't know it. He'll have success in Kansas City. Thigpen would not have had as much success here because he's not as good. But I can't say definitively that.
Yeah, no way. No, I just don't know enough about.
Well, he's not a Patriot.
Right. I just don't know enough about Yancey Thigpen to know how he would have played in this system. Or I know that he turned the ball
converting
over a lot.
A wide receiver to quarterback. Yeah. I don't think it would have gone.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't know. That can happen.
Plus, at that age too, I think that's a tough transition.
True. He's about 48 now.
I don't know how he would have done. I know that he fared pretty well over the last 4, 5, 6 games for Kansas City. He had that team competitive, and I think it's certainly arguable that he would have been able to do a reasonably good job with the Patriots, with given the amount of experience he would have had around him. But Andy makes a good point, too. Put 4 years in the system under his belt, too. 3 years of watching and learning and then playing in the fourth year the way Castle did. That's the apples to apples.
But I also, I don't know where Tyler Thigpen's from.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Like, he wasn't at USC, and I generally assume guys that go to USC are some of the best high school quarterbacks. So, from that perspective, Matt Castle was highly thought of. He ended up at one of the powerhouses in the country. So he's physically gifted. He's an impressive athlete. But why not? Well, first of all, there is no report that the Chiefs are interested. The report in the Boston Globe, the Boston Herald by Karen Garigian, was that
it makes sense.
And Jim Miller says it makes sense. But just because it seems to make sense, it's like, anytime there's an opening on the staff, we look at who's coached under Belichick in the past. Okay, that guy makes sense. He could be an assistant. That doesn't mean that there's been conversations, interest, anything. This is just pure speculation.
Absolutely.
So there is no report. But
that's how these things start.
But if there – well, because no one reads the story. They, pick out little bits of it and say, the Chiefs are interested. And then ESPN picks it up and rumors, Chiefs interested.
Right.
But why would the third-round pick be too high? What's the perspective?
Third overall pick. I think that – some of that has to do with people think that the Patriots don't want those picks because of the money.
But to me, if Bill wants it, now I don't know if Bill wants it or not. Maybe he thinks that's too much money. He doesn't want that pick. But from a Chiefs perspective, if I'm getting a franchise quarterback, then the third overall pick isn't too high.
No.
It's not like I'm saying I'm getting a center. Right. Wow, the center is a little high. He's a great center, but he's a center.
Right. You don't pay that much for
a ceiling.
You
would draft a franchise quarterback with the third pick and pay him.
Right.
Why wouldn't you trade at the third pick if you think he's a franchise quarterback?
Tyler Thigpen from Coastal Carolina.
See, he was not as highly thought of coming out of high school.
First player from Coastal Carolina ever to be drafted in the NFL. Was recruited by colleges as a quarterback despite not playing that position as a senior in high school. He was an all-South Carolina selection as a senior running back
at Fairfield Central High in Winnsboro, South Carolina. Full name Tyler Beckham Thigpen, so you can bend it like Thigpen.
Fred didn't like that.
Is today,
it's not.
You don't know from nicknames.
Is today a special day or something? Chris with a TIAN says, you know what today is, right?
Oh, today, February 3rd, the anniversary of the first ever Super Bowl that the Patriots won.
Is that right?
That's right.
And
February
I think the
3rd,
anniversary of the one they lost last
and
year.
And the one they lost last year, too. That's right.
Really?
That's correct.
I just thought it was the day after the Northeastern Huskies advanced in the Beanpot for the first time.
All right.
Hey. Going to lose to BU on Monday.
Yeah, more than likely.
Kieran from Ireland says, wow, what a game. Best one I've seen since the 06 AFC Championship game. So disappointed for the Cardinals, but you can't knock Roethlisberger anymore. That drive was very Montana-like. Didn't play brilliantly, but when it mattered, he was clutch. Enough of bashing Big Ben.
I like Ben as much as anybody and think Eric shoots him down a little too much, but now making the jump to Montana to me is a little.
I think you were just saying that last drive was Montana-like.
I thought the refs sucked as usual. Very questionable personal fouls in key situations for both teams, especially the one on Ike Taylor. I think the Steelers just about deserved it. P.S. Manning sucks.
I thought the Dansby one that you guys mentioned was terrible, and I think that one was terrible too. Ike Taylor goes onto the sideline. There's some pushing and shoving. There were no punches thrown.
Right.
It was just a lot of yelling and yapping. And the Cardinals were certainly every bit as guilty of it as anybody else. And you come out with a 15-yard penalty on the defense on that play in such a key time in the fourth quarter. I thought that was really weak, that call.
Someone's at the door.
We think, maybe.
Hey, this is Brian Morey from the Hall at Patriots Place. Now it's time for smartass Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's word.
Maybe you don't suck so much. Well done blowing him up. Today's word, courtesy of the guy who peed on him, is castlin. That's castlin, but it has nothing to do with pee. It's rising to the occasion while being the underdog. Starting out sloppy, then getting your together and ending with a stellar performance.
Wow.
Castlin.
Okay.
So this is an official one?
It has to be, right? If it's in there, it's been approved.
Wow.
By the editors. I think though Urban Dictionary has gone much the way of a lot of these halls of fame.
They'll let
anyone in there.
Yeah, like the BU baseball one?
Yeah, they'll let it. Ooh. Wow, that was a really, really low blow.
Some poor guy who had, in the 60s, had a four-year career ERA of 1.2.
Paul was is
going
hurt.
In with a guy who won four games.
Paul is visibly
hurt. But it's a
hurt.
Different era. Yeah. Runs scored are much higher nowadays. It's a whole different era. Yeah. You don't understand.
It was an era, all right. All right.
E-R-R-O-R?
He just doesn't get it.
Just doesn't get it, and he never will.
I just wolfed down a buffalo chicken wrap, a couple of extra wings on the side with some mozzarella sticks. And I'm 40 years old and 40 pounds overweight. And you can step in the batter's box anytime you want. And if you get a hit off me, I'll stop.
Just
you
stop.
Will not
when
get,
are we going to set
will
this
not
up?
Get a hit off
when
of me.
When are we going to set this up?
Andy, I wouldn't do it.
Why?
Because you're not an athlete. You've already proved that you're all caught. You can lift
you
weights.
You lost to Fred, for Christ's sakes. Come on.
Sports.
You can lift weights, but you're not a good athlete. So
that is accurate.
Let's see, Ireland's official Patriots fan site from Larry the Drunk. I'd just like to give a shout-out to all the Irish Pats fans at paddypatriots.com. That's P-A-D-D-Y, patriots.com is up and running and has now been registered as an official Patriots fan site.
F-Corp?
F-Corp. Just get to the website F-Corp. And sign up. Members are growing, and we want every Irish Pats fan we can get to get involved. That's great, paddypatriots.com.
Oh, patio pastry.
I have to check that out when I get back to my desk.
You should get Scotty O'Brien to sign up.
Maybe. We got a lot of O'Briens on the team now, right?
Yes, we do. Two.
What about Kyle?
He's in the scouting department.
Scouting department.
But
okay.
It's another
That's
one.
True. All right.
He's still here.
Forgot about him.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I just don't think I've seen
him. At least three
anything.
That I know of.
Or we have Mauro O'Brien.
Wilson.
Wilson, but
maiden
name. Maiden
name. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Maybe they'll draft an O'Brien. I'll look to see if there's any available.
Okay. That'd be great.
Fred, I'm beginning the work on Andy Hart's big board today.
Oh, good.
Putting it all together.
Big board. Doing that again? Are you going to put your comments next to each guy again?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. We
That's
do that.
That's a little bit of a ways
well
off.
Received.
We got to get. I checked in with B-Lo. He's been in contact with our video supplier.
You're going to get our tapes?
Works. Yep. That's in the. Promising more prospects this year
oh,
than
good.
Ever.
How about better tape?
They did not promise that. But the process is beginning.
I don't necessarily need more prospects. I have all I can do. Paul
hasn't finished 1 year yet.
I'll trade better tape for more prospects.
For your astute eye.
No, I'll just trade.
No, you'll tape more prospects for better tape. You want better tape.
I want better tape.
You want better tape. All right, well.
Mr. Cerebral.
Yeah.
Misspoke.
I did. I apologize.
A thousand
times. My bad.
Let's see. Kamani writes in.
Eric's favorite.
A couple things about the Super Bowl. One, I can't believe the Cards lost. The first down that the Cards gave up that led to the final touchdown killed them. The safety was way out of position running up the field, and he slipped on top of that. But the game was still theirs to win after the first down if they could stop the play or really two plays that cost them the game. Two, the Cards gave up not one but two lobs into the end zone, and they were 3 yards away from the receiver each time they blew it. And what about that thing Rita? You mentioned about Andy,
no idea
about
what
Eric.
One of those comments.
Did Eric ask you not to talk about it? I don't know.
Talk about what?
I don't know. Some comment I said I couldn't mention over the air.
I don't know. Move on. It's not important.
That can't. Eric, that can't be true. What? Since when
Eric
do we
said,
not comment
Eric
on
says
the
it's
air?
Not important, so we're going to move on.
Okay.
So Kamani thinks the Cards blew it. I think they did too.
Well, yeah, well, but I mean, they were the underdog.
I think the Steelers blew it to get in the situation right. Where they were behind. They had the best defense in football and a 20-7 fourth quarter lead. And they let
you got the best receiver in football running free down the center of the field.
And they let Arizona score 16 unanswered points.
Hey
and
guys,
James Harrison chasing. Did you
can
see
I
that
ask?
On that play?
Can I ask a question? Yes. Can I ask a question that I was interested in your thoughts. I've heard some national experts, quote unquote, including Madden on the game itself. The safety really was meaningless.
The safety
was meaningless. No, I thought the safety was meaningful.
I thought the safety was enormous.
I thought it was a big momentum thing.
Huge.
You know?
I thought the safety was enormous.
Why was it
meaningless?
Wasn't?
Like what's?
Well, their point was that they were going to get the ball back anyway, and they would have needed a touch. They needed a touchdown to go ahead anyway. So whether it was 4 or 6, they needed a touchdown.
Well,
yeah, but they needed.
But the whole thing is the Pittsburgh would have been. That last drive that Pittsburgh put together would have been much different. Matter of fact, when they made that play to Holmes, if it all worked out the same way, they would have kneeled on the ball 3 times and run the clock all the way down and
kick the field goal.
Right. To win.
Right.
Not
and you wouldn't
tie.
Have had the dramatic finish of the catch and everything.
I mean, I think it completely changed the way the game was played.
But in their defense, I do remember, you know, just before the safeties saying, you know, they could take the safety so that they could get – you know,
and
a better kick out.
And, it wouldn't right. make, rather, and that know. Wouldn't have, to me, made any sense at all to take yeah. a, to take an
but
intentional safety
that.
In that.
They
I know
mention,
they did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because and, John Clayton backed up Madden. You know, that didn't mean anything.
I thought it was a huge play for Carolina.
You take an intentional safety
Arizona.
There. Now the other team is going to get 9 points potentially, and you're going to fall behind by 3 instead of only being behind by 1 with very little time left. There's a big difference right. there. A field goal to win as opposed to a field goal to tie, now you're probably at the mercy of a coin flip in overtime.
Right.
Now, for Pittsburgh, they give them credit. They
right.
went down and scored a touchdown down 3. I just didn't get it. I thought the safety was an enormous play.
I do too.
Particularly in light of the fact that it overturned a first down that they got.
Right. Well, yeah.
Which would have ended the game.
Well, that was huge, yeah. And that was an amazing catch, too, because it actually bounced off the defender into his hands.
I still say it, like, hit him. And then
I thought it hit him in the hip.
It deflected.
I didn't see it. I thought it hit him in the
back. I thought it just hit him in the hip.
It was
but
a back
I'm still not sure
that he knew
really
coming.
Saw it. I think it, like, hit him, and he decided, okay, I'll catch it.
That was another great
yeah.
throw and a great catch, because that's where he had to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, it,
yeah, it was
fact,
almost reactionary.
Two plays
yeah,
before
he
that, he did the same
it.
Thing to Hines Ward, and only Ward dropped it. He put it right in an unbelievable small window.
By the way, Ryan Clark had a couple big hits again. He's just a hitter.
The only thing that was missing in that game was Polamalu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, based on the way he had been playing, he was completely invisible
but
all night.
Now, I'm wondering what part he played with, because I
Fitzgerald?
Mentioned to the Fitzgerald, there was one play where they crossed, and he just ran with Fitzgerald, and then they picked up a big gain on the other side. And I'm wondering how much he was just, you know, Rodney Harrison against Dallas Clark. Wherever he goes, you go.
Yeah, that accounts for his low tackle total, but I thought he was in position to make some plays that he didn't.
Yeah,
the interception,
well, he had to pick to end
the interception
game.
Being
yeah.
first and foremost, but he had another one that he was in the flat,
off.
I think, with Arrington, that he kind of went for an inside move and he didn't even get a hand on him. For a big. That was a big third and long that he had him well short of the first down and he got the first down on it. I just thought, you know, he was sloppy in that
well,
game.
Well, based on expectations, too. I mean,
yeah, he had been playing
pre-game,
well.
Most people were saying, oh, MVP, candidates, Polamalu, like, so.
They expected a big play from him.
I do agree with you, Andy. He may have, as a game plan, measure, right. been kind of taken out of the game statistically. But I thought when he did have chances to make plays, he didn't. Right. He didn't come through.
I just got buffalo juice in my eye. Oh. Burns. Hey, guys, and Eric.
Stop juicing a buffalo.
I just wanted.
How's the juicer going? We haven't talked about
Matt
that
from before. Connecticut writes in, hey, guys, and Eric, just wanted to know what you guys think of Kurt Warner and Hines Ward for the Hall of Fame. I forget who it was, but someone on the pregame for the Super Bowl was using the argument that if Tom Brady is a lock, then Kurt Warner is a Hall of Famer because they have similar numbers for the start of their careers. I'm not buying that argument. And for Hines Ward, he seems to have very consistent, very good years, but not really any great ones. P.S. Eric sucks for hating the fans of PFW and should be banned from receiving any lunches that come from anyone from now on.
I'm okay.
I didn't
with that.
Say I hated the fans of PFW.
Just you.
I hated the certain fans who were disrespectful. I don't hate all the fans.
Disrespectful.
We have some
to
great
who?
Fans.
To whom?
Me.
Part of the show is being disrespectful to you. There's no show if people aren't disrespectful to you.
Right there, that's a show.
That's the show.
Yeah, but I don't like you guys either, so I'm just being consistent.
Okay.
He doesn't like anyone.
The fans who are – the majority of fans are respectful, and I like them. There are a few who aren't, and I don't like them.
The Warner-Brady thing, if Kurt Warner had won the three Super Bowls he's been to, he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
There would be no argument.
Right.
Yeah, if he had three rings.
Yeah. They probably wouldn't think he was a Hall of Famer, but they
but
probably
be
wouldn't
a,
be an
he'd
argument.
He'd be a
you're
lock.
Right.
There would be no argument.
You're right.
And
you're right.
If you're going to compare Brady and Warner, there's a major difference there.
Yeah, Brady.
Now, whether that's fair or not, you can argue.
Mm-hmm.
But if he if that it said
would be my
three
argument.
Super Bowl titles, it would say Hall of Fame.
I'm also not convinced on Hines Ward being a Hall of Fame.
Hines Ward, it shouldn't even be the words Hall of Fame should never even be in the same sentence as Hines Ward. I mean, he's barely a Pro Bowler. I mean, how many times has he made the Pro Bowl? I mean, he's
good player, but
a good player. He's the Hall of Good.
Yeah,
he's in the Hall of Good,
and he'll be in the Steelers Hall of Fame. He's a team Hall
he's
of
in,
Famer.
He's in the Hall. Of he's in the Hall of Fame for abnormally physical wide receiver. I mean, there's nothing that he does that's great.
Well, pound for pound, he's the toughest player in the league.
There's
no doubt about it.
I like Hines Ward a lot. I think he's a very good football player, and I take him on my team in a heartbeat. That's not a Hall of Famer.
James from New Hampshire says that the guy that you're trying to think of, the foreign rugby player he was, Jonah Lemieux.
Lemieux!
He weighed 270 pounds and ran the 110.8.
So. Yeah. He was fast, big, scary, everything, athletic. What happened to him, James? Can you give me some background? I believe he had a neck injury.
Strippers, what's the score of this Wisconsin-Ohio State game?
Who cares?
I'm sure strippers does.
He wrote in. You want to know? Ohio State won the game. Let's see. Ohio State won, he says.
They're up 26-24
when
right
they
now.
Won, Buckeyes won.
Oh, Tony Campbell was on the team, too. There's another guy I heard of.
Buckeyes won 36 straight versus conference foes from 1983 to 1984.
Northeastern beat them in that era, too. I didn't realize they were that good then.
I know we talk about TV occasionally, but now we're talking about a game that was played 25 years ago.
Well, that's the beauty
what
of
we
us.
Do.
Hey, guys, and two genders is John in South Carolina.
It's catching on. I like it.
I do, too.
To all the people who complain about the boys arguing, shut up. It's going to be a long off season, so go ahead, argue, debate, discuss the greatest significance of beige office furniture. However, if we do want to talk football, have any of you actually heard what the injury was with Maroney? Will he be healthy for the next season? Will he be here next season? Do I remember Maroney saying when the truth came out about his injury, people will wonder how he lasted this long?
It was shoulder.
He had a shoulder injury. We know that.
The truth will never come out.
Well, not while he's still playing.
And, I mean, is he going to write a book later that says his shoulder was separated? Or like,
who knows?
It's not ground. If it fell off, okay, then we'd find out, wow, he was really playing with something. It was dangling by a thread. But we're never going to know. And yes, he will be in training camp, and D'Angelo Williams and Andy Hart are pulling for him.
Todd in Nova
D'Angelo
Scotia.
Williams
we haven't heard from Todd.
D'Angelo Williams and he were draft classmates.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Williams was sharing the load with Deshaun Foster, doing nothing in Carolina until he had, oh, by the way, 18 touchdowns and 1,500 yards this year.
Mm-hmm.
D'Angelo Williams said he thinks Maroney can do the same thing, blah, blah, blah. He's pulling for him, all that crap.
Todd in Nova Scotia says NBC did a great job with the Super Bowl, except for Matt Millen. Not that it would have made a difference, but I don't know how they don't review that last play. Where do you think the Patriots will tender Pierre Woods? Matt Millen, a lot of criticism in Detroit for having him on there. And I agree. I don't blame them.
Everybody who's on TV failed in the football.
Yeah, but the guy that left their franchise in shambles, and no sooner does he do that, but he gets rewarded by being on the Super Bowl broadcast.
That's the way it works.
The thing I don't understand is before he went to Detroit, and there's no arguing
that
he was terribly bad as a GM in Detroit. He's been a punching bag, laughing stock for 5 years. But before he went there, he was a TV guy, and everybody said, look, I don't really remember because we've been covering games. We don't watch those pregame shows, but everybody says he was great in that role. So why would the networks not be interested in hiring him now that he's out of work
again?
I don't
blame the Detroit fans for being pissed off seeing him
there. This isn't just about Detroit fans. Everybody says, how could they have Matt Millen? Who cares what his opinion is? Look what he did as a GM. Andy just put it exactly right. All of those guys virtually that are on those situations.
Bill Power didn't. Bill Power went out on top.
Charlie Casserly got fired. He's on one of those shows.
Floyd Reese got fired.
Yeah, but he's on one of those
shows. None of them built the team that went 0-16.
Does that really matter?
Yes, it does.
Why? It matters for Detroit. I grant you that.
And it should.
If I'm a Detroit fan, I don't want to see him doing anything.
I think that this guy should take a little hiatus from the public purview.
Why?
Because.
Should he be drawn and quartered because he failed his job?
We just don't need to hear from him right away.
Why?
Because there are other people out there that they could put on the broadcast. I don't understand the rush to have Matt Millen on the broadcast.
He's good at TV, and he's worked in the league for 8 years. Knows the inner workings of a front office and how decisions are made.
I think they had
may have made the wrong one.
They had enough people.
I know, by the way, he played.
Like who? Who should they have got?
It's a very complex
without
proposal.
Getting anyone else, they had enough people on that broadcast that they didn't have to bring
Matt Millen. That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Dungy, Holmgren, right?
Yeah.
Costas,
Holmgren,
Collinson,
Collinsworth. They had 16 people.
If I'm Seattle, I don't want to see Mike Holmgren
Jerome
out there.
Jerome
Bettis. I'll tell you.
Oh, Jerome Bettis.
Chris Collinsworth.
Forgot about Bettis.
Jerome Bettis. Last time I saw him, he was fumbling at the goal line. I don't want to see him. If I'm Pittsburgh, I don't want to see him there.
Okay, you could be ridiculous if you want.
But you could take it to a ridiculous level.
Matt Millen played in the league.
I'm trying to be ridiculous.
Was an executive in the league and was a media member in the league.
Why
would you not want that
experience? If I'm Detroit,
an embarrassment.
No, he's not.
Speaking of embarrassment.
He was an embarrassment as a GM.
And for the last, what,
he was
eight,
an embarrassment
was
as a
Detroit?
GM.
8, I believe.
8 years, he was an embarrassment.
For the Lions, as a GM,
I don't understand the rush to get him back on TV.
Because he's pretty good.
He's not that good. And he didn't say anything of any value during that broadcast, by the way.
Who did say something of any value?
I'm just saying, if you've got a rush to bring him on, what's the reason? He wasn't that good.
Because they want to get him back.
Yeah.
As long as you had a good reason. Thanks.
Terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
Again, I can understand if I'm Detroit, I don't want to see Matt Millen. He ruined my team. That's totally understandable. Everybody else who was every bit as venomous as Detroit is, I don't get it.
Right. Why so much
I don't
hate
get
in the
it.
World? Why the hate?
Because it was the embrace the hate in 08.
I just think that fans get a little bit, you know, it's like we lose our jobs and do a bad thing. It takes us a little while to bounce back and get another job. It just seems that there's this incredible net that protects some of these guys.
Wait a minute. You're going to tell me if you lost your job, you wouldn't have a job quickly?
Hell no.
With all your connections?
I don't even know what I do. I can't even explain it to people.
Neither do I.
I understand that, but every time we bring up a name, you say, well, I gave that guy his first job, and I worked with this guy. You would have a job in a heartbeat.
No.
And it's not fair,
Andy,
because we all agree we don't know what you do.
Andy, I
you'd have a job in a heartbeat.
It wouldn't be that
you'd
way.
You'd have a job in a
it
heartbeat.
It wouldn't be that way.
I'm crackling
way.
Again. What's the problem?
Because you're always playing around with your microphone.
I didn't touch my mic.
You touch your mic all the time.
That's not his mic.
It's just that big.
All three of us had one.
I didn't actually hear any of them because I heard a little portion of each.
Mickey writes in. He says he's a long-time listener, first-time emailer.
Hey, Nick.
Emailer.
Mickey
I've been a
Rourke.
Pats fan for Cubby 5 Nick. Years now from Ireland, so I don't get much news on the Pats here, so I get my Pats news from your great show. I just emailed to say I kept hearing you guys saying you hated the Steelers, and I didn't understand where it came from until I watched the Super Bowl and saw Harrison hit that guy on the ground, which seemed really cheap to me. Oh, yeah. And on the news, I saw a Steeler fan running his mouth about how great the Steelers were, so I understand where the hatred comes from.
The Harrison hit was hateable, dirty.
I just hate the Steelers because they always win.
P.S.
I'll be honest with you. Four times in my childhood.
Mick also wants to know if we can help him get a cheap, authentic Pats jersey. I have one, but I'm looking for another one.
No. They're not cheap.
No.
They're authentic. Like $300 now.
Yeah.
Part price going through the roof.
And there's not a lot of markup on the authentics. There is on the replica, but the authentics cost wholesale a lot of money, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't buy it.
Reebok really rips us off.
Wisconsin blew a halftime lead in that game, evidently. Huh? Ohio State. Yeah.
They're not a team sponsor. They're a league sponsor that Fred's now ripping.
I love the old graphics, too. ESPN graphics.
Yeah.
Marco's
after
from Argentina.
After this show will be Classic TV with Paul and Eric.
What?
We're old.
Marcos doesn't like the Eric? Officiating. He thought that it was questionable. I'd like to hear Paul's take on the Super Bowl officiating. While I think Pittsburgh was a fair winner, I still have my doubts on a lot of the calls.
Just too many penalties. That was my take. But like I said, in fairness to them, almost every time I watched a replay, I saw the penalty that they called.
And that questionable roughing the holder penalty?
Yeah, I mean, he just bowled over the holder for no reason. I mean, you talk about cheap plays, the Harrison play, that was pretty bad.
That was one of my favorites because I thought they called roughing the kicker. I watched the replay staring at the kicker and said, what are they talking about?
For no reason.
And then just cutting across the screen comes Adrian Wilson to kill him.
And he wasn't even coming that fast.
I don't know
how he didn't
it
slow up.
It was well after the kick. It was, I don't...
There were a couple of penalties. I thought there was a defensive hold on Arizona on Hines Ward. He did grab him by the shirt, but he really was very, very picky, I thought. There was one on Larry Fitzgerald that I thought was the same, only Fitzgerald made the catch anyway, so they declined the penalty. We already talked about the personal foul on Dansby and the one on Ike Taylor. Yeah. But for the most part, I mean, you get the play of the game to me. You're on the 1 yard line, 3rd and 10. You got to get off your goal line. Roethlisberger makes this incredible throw and an incredible catch by Santonio Holmes. And then you look up and you see there's a flag, and you're like, they're calling hold, and you got to be kidding me. Then you watch the replay and see the guard actually tackle the guy and pull him forward. And you're like, you kind of have to call that. Even though it's a play of the game, you have to call penalties on that. And a lot of the penalties were like that. They were really egregious.
Do you have Josh's digital? Okay, let's cue that up. You know, we talked about people doing
the MP3 thing?
MP3s instead of calling or emailing. Here's another one from Josh.
Hey, guys. This is Josh from Arlington. And you were discussing, calls that bothered you during the Super Bowl. And I wanted to ask quickly what your impression was on two calls that were kind of annoying to me. And those were the penalty when the Steelers were kicking a field goal and there was running into the holder call. And the penalty when Harrison was roughing one of the linemen after there was a punt by the Cardinals. I don't understand the change of possession call on a punt, which resulted in a like 2-inch penalty on the goal line because the Cardinals downed the ball there. But yet, running into the holder seemed to happen after the play as well. Excuse me. But the Steelers were given the first down regardless of that. So my question is basically, how do they deem a change of possession when the ball's in the air and Harrison is drilling that guy into the ground and not award a first down, but they award a first down even though a guy ran into the holder after the ball's already through the uprights? It seems like it's kind of contradictory. What do you guys think?
Today, okay, it's not a bad question, but the whole idea of the MP3 is to have it thought out and rehearsed so it comes off slick and, so anyway.
And passionate.
It's kind of a misuse of the technology, what I'm saying.
It's your beast.
Fred. But anyway, what do you think about his question? Nobody?
It's the rule. I mean,
as soon as you make contact with the punt, that's deemed a change of possession. A field goal, the play continues, and they're still on offense. Right. It's not a change of possession.
Never a change of possession.
It's their ball still on a field goal, and I think that's the difference. But I really don't have a good reason for that other than just to say that's the rule.
That's the way the rule is.
There's a lot of rules I don't necessarily agree with, but
I think that one's fair.
You can't barrel into the. I mean, that's like roughing the kicker. It could potentially affect the kick, and who knows if the holder saw the guy coming and braced for it or whatever.
And even if it doesn't, it would give you free rein to do whatever you wanted. Like,
right.
Say there's a missed kick, now you can beat somebody up and not worry about them keeping the ball. Like, it wouldn't be fair.
If it didn't give him the first down, why wouldn't you take that shot every time?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the field goal at the end of the game, the guy's thinking, oh, man, there's not going to be any change of possession. They're just going to lay off and kill me here.
Yeah.
Let's see. James has more on Lomu. He says he has nephrotic syndrome, a kidney disorder. He was on dialysis 3 times a week, which led to nerve damage in his legs and feet. He had a kidney transplant in 2004 and made a small comeback but was never really the same. His YouTube videos are awesome.
It's all coming together now. Strange liver disease.
Iggy says, I hate the Steelers,
too. It's
on
the Fred Kirsch juice plane.
I already have my tickets for the London game. I've heard they are still some available, so Patriots fans in Europe, go for them. We have to make it our 9th home game in the 09 season. It's Iggy in Madrid. Good to hear from him.
Sounds like it's
going
to be.
Will be.
Yeah.
The league says the Patriots are the most supported team in Europe.
Yeah.
I was very surprised, Fred, to see that the the director of the UK NFL fan program or whatever his name was, Alistair Kirkwood or something
right.
Alistair.
Alistair.
It's either that or Nigel.
Alistair Kirkwood.
There's a lot of Nigels, too. TG and NJ, last Thursday, Paulie was on the big show. Ray Lewis was a guest on the phone, and I thought, uh-oh, Paulie hates Ray Lewis, but he won't say anything. He's too afraid to really say what he thinks.
You'd be right, my friend.
You either wussed out or stayed professional, which is it?
Wussed out.
Both.
Doesn't have professional bone in his body.
You'd be right, my
wussed
friend.
Out.
And I will not be calling Ray Lewis out if he becomes a Patriot either. Much like I didn't call Corey Dillon out when he was a Patriot.
I did.
He stopped the show.
True.
I remember that.
He scared me.
And he got kicked off the Super Bowl show for calling him.
Yeah, I know.
He's going to go postal one of these days.
He's going to kill me,
pull
too.
Up an Uzi and just spray right through the glass.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you on Thursday. I can say see you next Thursday, right?
No, it's this Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh, this Thursday's next Thursday. The next Thursday is this Thursday, right?
That's correct.
So I'll see you next Thursday.